Hello.
Hello.
Hey, you're early. You're on
I'm
time.
on time.
This time I was like, fuck it, I'm gonna show up late because he's always late.
I showed you.
Yeah. It's like, what's up, man? Why are you early? You there?
I'm adjusting
What are you adjusting?
my wires.
Oh.
This is a complicated operation over here.
You're
A
not
lot of
wireless
wires, a lot of
yet.
dials, a lot of test tubes. I
Lot
mean,
of
tube vac vacuum tubes.
vacuum tubes.
Test tubes too, but
A
that's for
lot of reel to
another thing.
reel recording.
Takes a lot to get this analog recording online.
Yeah. We had demands from a listener to put our stuff on Spotify.
Yes, Spotify is the new future of podcasting.
Is it? I don't give a shit about Spotify. Fuck that shit, man. I get my cassette player and stick to my old iTunes, and I'm fine.
You don't see, well, that's because you listen to music while you're walking.
I listen to podcasts while I'm walking,
Oh,
unless I'm out of
sorry.
podcasts.
That's what I meant, podcasts, podcast
Yeah.
music.
Podcasts aren't music. I don't listen to music about podcasts.
Do you listen to podcasts about music, though?
No, I don't.
I don't either.
I don't. I'm weird when it comes to podcasts. Like, I don't want to listen to music podcasts. I don't want to listen to TV or movie podcasts. It has to be comic related.
So you haven't explored the wealth of podcasts about finances, about history, about Dungeons and Dragons playing,
No, I have
about.
not.
Wow, me neither.
It's weird. I don't have any. I mean, in reality, I should be listening to like finance podcasts so I can retire soon. Get my ducks in a row, but
Yeah, you get
I want to.
organized.
That's work. I want to relax when I'm listening to or walking, or doing chores.
That's understandable.
I
And
listen
I
to music when I run out of podcasts or when I'm mowing because the mowing is so loud that I can't listen to the podcast, but music I can hear.
listen to the podcast when I mow. Don't
Yeah,
you have
it's.
like the headphone, the earbuds, like the sound that block the sound?
No, I don't have big ass headsets. I only have the ones that come with the iPhone.
You got to get some of those earbuds that
You mean the
they block
ones,
out the sound.
those big ass ear things that look
No,
like
the
from the 70s that you walk
one.
around with these big old headsets?
No, not the noise canceling ones.
I might
They
as well get a
want.
boom box and hold it to my ear and hold it on my shoulder like you did
Duct
back in
tape.
the 80s.
Just duct tape it to
I
your
just duct tape it to
lawnmower
my shoulder. Just tape
on your back.
it.
And we'll go around
That's right.
jamming.
That's right.
No, but no, they have like little buds that just go in your ear, but they're like more soundproof. They block more of the sound, external sound. So that's what I use. Then you just gotta crank it really loud so people
When
yell
I
at your ear.
when I'm mowing it, I do a lot of thinking. And when I think, I don't like to listen.
Yeah, you can't listen to a podcast and think.
No. No, I just like think.
Especially this podcast.
Yeah, this one you don't want to think. You do not want to think about anything.
But
But
lately,
I'll have you know, I'm gonna go to Spotify right now and tell you how many people have listened to us since we've gone on Spotify.
you can find that out. Can I find that
Yeah.
out? Probably not.
Zero. We have zero
Zero.
starts, zero streams, zero listeners, but we
Well,
have
people
one
don't know.
follower.
There you go. Hey, that's not true though. I listened to one of them just to see if it worked, but I didn't listen to the whole episode. I only listened to a couple of minutes.
Well, I don't know. I just looked at the statistics. Maybe the statistics are bullshit.
Maybe it takes a while to update. They're
Maybe
trying to
you.
rip us off of our money.
What money?
All the Spotify money.
Did you hack it? Set a wire to your system there?
I'm checking my account all day.
Are people playing bitcoins to you on the dark web? It's something I don't know about.
Hang on, I'm.
Well, it was easy
Yeah.
enough. It took like 3 minutes to add us in, so I don't care if anybody listens to that or not.
I was impressed that that is a possibility now. That's exciting.
Yeah, are you excited?
I'm excited now that I can listen to it on Skype. No, not Skype.
Well, you are listening on
I am
Skype
listening to it
right
on
now.
Skype right
You're
now, yeah.
live. You don't have to listen to yourself.
Don't need no bullshit Spotify. I just listen to it on Skype.
Do you ever listen to yourself?
That sounded like an insult.
No, but do you ever like do you
Listen
ever
back
No, yeah, do
sometimes.
you ever say I want to listen to our podcast and see how shitty we did?
So sometimes I have done it before
Yeah.
in a case where I wanted to see like what we said about something, or I was trying to find somewhere we talked about something.
You forgot what you read.
No, I'm talking like a year ago. Yeah,
Oh.
when I forget what rating I gave a comic.
You forget that live. Did I read that? Yeah, you
I had to
did.
go. Yeah, when I so sometimes I had to go back to the previous episode. No, and I have gone back to like a real old one, and then just got into it and started listening
Yeah.
to
I haven't done the old stuff lately, but what I've noticed is a lot of my go-to podcasts have not been putting out stuff lately. So I've been going back and listening to like old episodes of The Comic Attic, and he stopped putting out episodes too, but I missed like a good portion of them. So I'm
Yeah,
going
so you're
back and
catching up.
listening to it, yeah. He's a musician. He
Who
collects
does that one?
Michael Pindell. And he's a fascinating guy because he's like me. He collects a lot. But he doesn't collect, like, he doesn't buy a lot of new stuff. Like, he goes to those dollar boxes and the flea markets and finds issues that are cheap. He still gets current comics, but not a lot. But, he does music, and then he's like old school. Like, he's into movies and film, and he collects VHSs. It's like he has like a basement. He moved to a new house, okay? So like he went to Baltimore, and he didn't like it too much there. He's like in the college type job type, I guess, like front office or teaching or
Administration or
something. Or
something.
yeah, a little bit of both. I don't know. He does something like that. He doesn't really get into it, but you get the vibe for what it is. And he didn't care for it in Baltimore. Now he's back in Pennsylvania somewhere where he was from. And he got a house now, and he got a basement, and he like decked out that basement. It looks pretty damn cool, 'cause like I want to get him on Collector's Corner, but he has like a center area where like he's got all his comics organized, like what he's read and what he hasn't read. And that's kind of the way I organize my comics, is by like what's read and what's not read.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, and he does that, and then on the outer wall, he's got, it looks like the old video store I used to go to. Like before Blockbuster even existed. It looked
Oh, just all
he
the
Yeah,
video tapes.
he's got all the wood, like his I can't remember if his father helped him or somebody helped him, his uncle or something like that, build out this wall unit that makes it look like a video store. And then he put light. You know how those video stores had like the neon lighting and all kinds of crap? back in the 80s. He put all that stuff in. So it looks like a video store in his
Like walking into a video
basement.
store. Does he have like a curtain to one side?
Oh, I don't think he's got the rated X videos, Bill. That's where you'd be hanging out. You're like, I'll be over here.
That's when you're like underage, you're like pe you try to peek through the curtain to
Yeah,
see
either the
what
side
magic is
or you
behind the
accidentally try to trip and look under the curtain because you're
curtain.
like, oh, I hurt my ankle.
Having trouble getting up.
And then when you go with buddies, it's always like we would always have the guy that, you're 16, 15, and you have that friend that can grow a beard and look older.
I'll have to try have him
Well,
check out stuff.
we had one dude that was a year younger than me. He was on the basketball team, and he looked like he was like 22. And he would always go back there and just rent us some porno tapes.
That's a good friend to have.
That's how I first got into like, I first saw a porno. The first one that I ever saw was Sika as Tara. I'll remember it. It had Sika, who was a porn star back in the day.
Classic.
Classic. And
Classic porn star.
then he was getting us like new age hookers, and those were badass porn. Those were
Yeah,
awesome porn.
was the 80s. 80,
Yeah,
that was the 80s
they would
porn.
come in on like roller skates and do daisy chain and all kinds of shit, man. It was like craziness.
That's when they cared.
That's when they cared. You had plots back then.
Special effects, everything.
Everything.
Design, they put a lot of work into the design. There's a movie they were
Yes.
making.
New Wave Hookers. They've made a lot of those, so it was probably a successful franchise.
I think it was. How could it not be?
Yeah. But yeah, I've gone back and listened to old stuff because the new stuff is just not coming out as regularly. And I haven't found any like new podcasts lately that like floats my boat. I tend to I like things like Nerdy Legion and stuff that's like off the cuff and it's not like planned and
Sure.
it's not read to you. Do you know what I mean? Like if I want to read an issue, I don't want somebody to read the issue to me. I want them to discuss the issue. Do you see what I'm saying?
So it's not like DC Noise when Keith first joined.
Yeah, it's different. We used to go pretty much.
Page by page.
Yeah. Well, it was more with Eric when Keith came.
He did it first, like the
We
first few.
did it like for 6 months, and then it turned
Yeah.
into more of a discussion, I think.
Yeah,
And
and
now
now
he
it
doesn't
turned
even read
to
comics.
shit.
It turned to shit. It did, literally.
Yes, it did. That was you jumped the shark with the pooping episode.
Yeah.
Yeah,
So
I'm the same way with the podcast I listen to. I don't listen to a lot of the pro ones. I'd rather just hear some couple of dudes talking, having
right,
fun.
because what I think it that attracts me to the podcast is the actual podcaster. Do you know what I
Sure.
mean? It's not what they're talking about. Well, it has to be in the vein of comics for me, but it's more about taking this journey with that particular person's voice and learning about that person than actually, like, I don't want to listen to an interview. The interviews kill me. I just don't dig them. Very seldom. Every now and then, there's an interview that pops up, and I really dig.
Yeah, it depends who's being interviewed, but I think it's the same kind of thing. Like, if you connect with the person being interviewed, then you're going to be more into it because then it's just them kind of talking about what they're excited about.
Yeah, but I don't want to know like about their book. That's weird. I don't want to know what they're like pimping. I kind of want to know like, what do? Like, what is
Why are
your
you doing what
what,
you
what why are you
do?
doing what you're doing? What movies do you like to see? What What inspires you that is not comic related? Do you have a day job? Do you have to make com you know what I mean? Shit like that.
Yeah. Less of the promotion side of it.
Yeah, because I'm gonna buy that shit anyway. I don't give a fuck. I mean, if I was if I would buy a limited amount of comics, I might care. You know, like I'd pick, you know, what I want to buy, be
Yeah.
more selective.
Even in that case, I mean, you give the pitch, and then what more do you need to know beyond that? Just tell me what the concept is.
Yeah.
And then I'll tell you if I'm going to like it or not. And a comic, I mean, let me see the art too. So it's hard to. You can make any comic sound good.
Yeah,
Just
yeah.
talking about it.
Well, I've been more disappointed with interviews when I do listen to them than when I don't. In other words, with the exception of Rick Remender, I mean, he's the only one that I could ever go back to that had an interview that blew me away, and then I read his material and I said, "Oh, this is fucking awesome." Because I like listened to it when he was doing like Strange Girl and Fear Agent, you know, like before he became big. And I was like, "Wow, this stuff sounds cool." And then I got into it and I started reading all the stuff afterwards and I really dig it. But everything else, like these creators will like tell you this premise and it's freaking awesome. And it's like in their mind they know more about it than you do. And then you read it and it's like, well, that didn't really live
Live
up
up
to
to
the
the
excitement that like it wasn't delivered in the way it is in his mind. Does that make sense? Like in his
Yeah, I
mind,
mean,
it's something that's absolutely fabulous and new, and then when you read it, it's like not.
yeah. Well, I mean, and that's what they say, like, about ideas. Like, if you come up with something, it may not be the most original idea, but what's original is going to be your interpretation of it and how you tell the story. And
Yeah.
that's where the real magic is. Not in the, I mean, the concept's good because that's how you hook people, but you need the execution. The execution is what's really going to win people over, make them stay.
Yeah.
Because you could have the craziest and most amazing concept, but if the execution sucks, then. And you could have a boring concept, but your execution is just so amazing that people are going to get sucked into it.
True, true. Like one of the books today I thought was really original. Like, really original. Like, I felt like this was, I don't know, it was something different. I mean, it took elements from things I've seen before, but it was real pretentious, like in the way it delivered. And then it like slaps you in the face, like I know I'm being pretentious, and you're one of these dickhole readers. It kind of turns the tide, the irony of it. Oh, you're probably just a casual reader, you know, like you.
Yeah, I know book you're talking about because I read it as well.
I kind of liked it. 'Cause it like flipped the pretentiousness up a level to like be pretentiousness of pretentiousness. Like
Well, it was it's interesting because should we just talk about it?
sure.
So we're talking about, of course, we're talking about the new Spider-Man series
Amazing
by
Spider-Man.
Amazing Spider-Man number one. Now we're talking about Fearscape from Vault Comics. And so it's interesting because you have the pretentiousness comes from the main character, main character's narration.
And the
But
way he presents it, like when you open the first page and you have all these, you have a 9-panel grid with no pictures, and he's talking to you like he's sitting with you, or like here your casual readers, or like, you motherfucker, what are you talking about?
Right, starts out, "Forgive me, dear reader, for arranging this page in the usual grid format. This accursed cage, the literary shorthand of the lazy full formalist. I'm sure it is one which you are familiar."
Yeah.
Yeah, you gotta admire a comic that starts off by making fun of the people who use the 4-panel or the 9-panel grid
Exactly.
as faux intellectualism.
Tom King should read that.
I'm sure he has.
Yeah.
That's funny. But it's the, like, once you read it, like, it's something like the narrator would think, because the narrator in this is very pompous. But the funny
Yes.
thing is, if you look to see, compare, like, his narration to his actual dialogue in the book,
Yeah.
like, in the book, he's kind of a dumbass.
Well,
Well, he is. He's a scumbag.
he's a dick.
Yeah.
No, he really is a dick. Like
He is.
it's like the irredeemable Ant-Man or somebody. It just doesn't he doesn't like get a clue on somebody being gracious to him and then betraying that person. You know what I mean? Like he really is a dick.
Well, yeah, because
And he
he's a
kind of
failure.
reminds me of like Chevy Chase and Funny Farm, because Chevy Chase and Funny Farm would always tell his agent, "Yeah, I'm working on this novel. I got this much pay." And he really wasn't. Like he was so full of shit. He just cashed the check. Do you know what I mean? Like the advance check.
Yeah, spend the advance.
Yeah.
Yeah, so in this one, he's an author, and he's working on a new book, but in reality, he can't figure out what to write, and he has a his friend is a, like a very famous author, but who's sick in the hospital.
Kind of reminded me like he was pointing to like Game of Thrones guy. I got that vibe just because of the genre that guy wrote in.
Oh, like the famous author guy?
Yeah. And
Yeah, like a George R. R. Martin type.
yeah, George R. R. Martin and just the way that all his books are kind of related to each other. Do you know what I mean? Like he kept on saying, "Well, it's the same plot device over and over again."
Yeah.
And he's kind of just advancing the story.
Yeah, of course our hero author is disparaging the writings of his friend, even though his friend is like,
His friend
Course,
got
of
him.
course he's better. He could write anything better than him, even though he can't write
Right,
anything.
he can't write anything, but he thinks he can, and he criticizes his work, but his friend even got him in the business. Like he wouldn't even probably be anything if he didn't have this friend. If he didn't have
Right.
a George
Yep.
R. R. Martin there.
Right. I'll, yeah. Or George R. R. Martin introducing him to his agent and getting him a contract and stuff.
Yeah.
But I just love the way it was done with the, what's it called? It's like the unreliable narrator, because you see what he's saying and he's very pompous in his in the captions, but then his actual actions in the book are completely different from like he's very meek and kind of like
Well,
not
he's very
non-aggressive
well,
and
he's very suave when he writes. He's very
Yeah, he's the king of
opinionated,
the
and then you find out what he really is, and he's not a good person. Like it's almost like this arrogance of like if you were somebody that was really arrogant on the interwebs. And you found out in real life you were just this measly coward, jerk, you know. But maybe have a powerful presence because you're behind something. You know what I mean? That nobody can see you. It's the power of literature. But yeah, I didn't like this guy 'cause right off the bat. He goes to his agent, and his agent says, "Why can't you be more like your friend? Because he's already got his book ready, and I'm going to go preview it and all this." So he's like, "Well, I'm going to go visit my friend." And he decides to steal the book just to read it. And he puts it in his pocket, and his daughter walks in and says, "What are you doing? Why are you even here?" And he tries to play it off, but he's really just trying to steal his ideas. And then. Then it gets all mystical and weird. Some entity
That
comes
gets weird.
from this thing called the Fearscape and says, "You need to come into the Fearscape. Are you George R. R. Martin or whatever the writer's name?" And he says, "Yes." So he lies immediately. And he goes into the Fearscape with her as
Yeah, she needs we need the world the Earth's greatest writer to save
Yeah.
us, to save the world. Are you him? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm him. It was weird, man. Like when I read it, I was like, "Man, I don't." It's almost at the level of pretentiousness that I don't like, but there was something about it that made me like it.
Right, because it's, well, It's pretentious in that it's about this very pretentious guy who's really just a dumbass.
Yeah. But the way it opens up though, it's like at a different level. Like it's
It immediately tells you right off the bat that it's not going to be a regular book comic. But it's very pretentious about it, too.
Yeah. Very, very much so.
You don't know if it's, but it's not the writer of the comic that's being pretentious, it's the character that's
Yes.
being pretentious.
Yes. Well, in this case, it's the writer. I mean, the
Right.
writer of the comic book who's writing about a character that's very
That's
pretentious.
pretentious.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was something. It was good.
And
It
the
was very
guy that,
interesting.
the interesting thing too is the guy that is popular and writes these really good novels is on his deathbed. Like he's getting ready to pass on.
Yeah, he's in the hospital.
So this guy could pull off like this weird thing where he does play off to be his friend. But even his daughter is like, "What kind of friend are you? You're really not a friend. You're kind of like this leech
Yeah, she doesn't
that
like
just
him.
like sucks off my father's popularity." And she's even talking to her father like, "Why do you even like this guy? Like he's in a coma type thing." And he's like, "Why do you even tolerate this guy?" He's like maybe sympathetic towards him. Maybe, I guess.
Yeah, well, I don't know, because I think isn't the author like, I don't think he talks, right? Isn't he like kind of like in
Yeah,
a,
he's
not a coma, but
catatose. Yeah.
he's not talking.
I think he could hear, but he's not able to process anything right now. But this was by, I do like Andrea Moody too, because she did stuff with Brian Wood. I think in Rebels. Andrea Moody.
That a dude?
It might be a dude. It's hard with the Andrea. Andrea, I think of a girl.
Well, is it Andrea or Andrea?
Andrea.
I think it is a dude. I could be wrong.
It could be. I'll Google it. Ryan O'Sullivan is the writer, the pretentious writer.
Did he do Void Trip? Is that that guy?
Yeah. Void Trip is the Cheech and Chong in space, which is almost like a poke. Like, it's weird. It's almost like he's writing about himself because if you look at this guy's work, he's very diverse. Like one, like you wouldn't like read this and say this guy wrote Void Trip. Like you
No,
would
yeah, you would
never
not
get the
know.
idea. And he pokes at that as he's talking about comics, like. When he's talking about his friend, he's like, he can't, he always writes the same thing in the same vein and he's successful instead of doing things that are unrelated all the time, you know? And that's kind of what this guy's doing. He does stuff in the comic weird space Cheech and Chong and then switches to this. And he's done some other image things, I think, as well. So he's able to adapt to different genres. So he's probably writing a lot about himself. I hope he's not a jerk in real life.
You find Mr. or Mrs.? Yeah, it looks like a dude. Or it's a woman with a nice beard.
Oh yeah, I see him, Rebels artist. He is a dude. It's hard with some of the names because when things end in a certain letter in Spanish and stuff, and you think of
Right, because the
a
in some
female version,
languages,
yeah,
the A
female
is
version,
feminine.
a female version of the male, and then I don't know. It's different. So what did you give this one?
I probably give it a 5 out of 5.
I thought it was going to be a 5 out of 5 for you because you could put up with a little more pretentiousness than I can. I gave it a
Well,
4 out of 5.
yeah, 5 out of 5 I gave it.
This one
Well, I
could,
like.
this one really, because they switched, I liked it when it was a little more grounded. It could go either way for me going forward. Like, because it's in this fantasy realm now, and I,
Right, what they do with the fan if he comes back to reality at some point.
yeah, because I like the reality aspect of it, but when they threw in this strange, weird world, I depending on how they go, I don't know if I'll like it going forward.
It could be interesting, like if he comes back to the real world with this mission from this the Fearscape. People already think he's an idiot, so now he's going to be talking about like this mission he's on. No one's going to believe him.
Yeah.
He'll probably use it to his gain, right? So, like, he's going to try and figure out a way to make money off of it. But he's
Oh
going to think he's
yeah.
like the greatest person in the world. He's going to be so pompous when he comes back.
Potentially, if
He's
it
going to be even
doesn't,
more pretentious.
well, they could go like all kinds of different ways with this. He could either become more of an asshole because of what he could steal that guy's identity, essentially, depending on what happens. In this Fearscape world, at least.
Plus, I mean, I think it'll be fun even in the Fearscape world just because, like, they created such a c interesting character, I think. And they use the medium so perfectly where his captions and what he's thinking is so oppo like diametrically opposed from what he's actually his actual personality. So what he's doing is completely different than what he's seeing himself doing in his head.
Yeah.
So he's gonna have these challenges in the Fearscape where he's gonna be messing it up, but in his head, in the captions, he's gonna be saving the world. Like there was that time when he like walked down the street and these like I don't know what they were. They were these dudes with masks on were giving him a hard time, calling him a faggot.
Yeah.
And he's like, and he's saying all this stuff like how he's better than them, and he'll show them by walking strong.
he walked strong and like kind of ignored him, and then it worked though. In
It
that
did,
case, it
but
worked
he's like, I
because
will show them like how much better I am than them. They will learn, they'll see me and know. But then they're just like, yeah, keep walking, bitch. So, like, what he's interpreting is completely different than the actual situation.
yeah. I haven't read much Vault, even though I get a lot of it. But this was a really good one. Like, I think I almost get their entire run, but I've read like 3 of their books. And one of them I wasn't impressed with. This one I was impressed with, even though it's like not in my wheelhouse. Like this, if you would have told me the premise to this, I would have said, "No, nah, I ain't gonna like it." It just wasn't for me, but the execution was, it, man, it was just like flawless to me. It was just like
So
smooth.
when the woman comes from the Fearscape, she's described as like the most beautiful woman in the world, and it was interesting the panel that she's in or the page that she's introduced on. I think it's like a full page splash of the woman, and the captions like cover her face, and so you can't even see what she looks like, which was perfect because he's like it like perfectly captures like
What he's
he's like.
thinking,
Yeah,
yeah.
his thoughts like overcome anything in reality so much that it doesn't even matter what she looks like because in his mind like who knows
Yeah.
like his thoughts his delusions like overpower the reality of the world. Like they play like a lot of little tricks like that that I thought effectively use the medium that you don't. In ways that you don't see very often. And
Yeah.
I love it when people figure out like ways of to use the medium, like
They
interesting
talk
ways.
about like people different in different time periods, like saving the Fearscape. You know, like from the plague, and then it goes forward a little bit, and they save the Fearscape later, and yeah, man, you know what that had a flavor of? Is I've been watching, actually finished watching the Freeform series Cloak and Dagger,
Ah.
and it has a vibe like that, like not like this, like what the story's about, but like. Of people historically from each time period having to save something, you know?
Okay, like the next in line.
Yeah, you're, in other words, they're destined. Well, this
Yeah.
Cloak and Dagger is very different from the comic book. It is not like they didn't, even though the girl was doing drugs, they're not given their powers via drugs. And later on, they talked about the drug experiments and them being mutants. Do you remember when they turned them into mutants back in the day? They it was called the Misadventure Mutant something or another, Cloak and Dagger. These guys were granted powers by an explosion that sort of happened with the Roxxon facility. And the girl's father worked at Roxxon, and the other guy during that same night, he was killed. I mean, his brother was killed by a cop when the explosion went off, and he's been his whole life trying to get justice for the death of his brother. So it's like it's very strange, but man, is it's an emotional, like the actors are so freaking good. Like it's like an emotional, captivating story. I like it.
I'm glad I have
And
to watch that.
they brought in like voodoo into the thing too, which is really cool because it takes place in New Orleans, and I really like that aspect of it as well. So like, yeah, Cloak and Dagger was pretty awesome. But it has like this thing that, like these tales that are told of a duo that has to constantly save the, you know, New Orleans. And it kind of felt like this Fearscape because it talked about all these different writers in the past having to save the Fearscape. And it looks like something in the Fearscape manifests itself in the real world. So whatever's happening in the Fearscape might manifest itself differently in the real world and kill a lot of people. Like the plague.
Right, because he's told that he needs to do something in the Fearscape to save the world. To save our world.
Yep.
I like it.
Yeah, it was good. It was really good. So, what do you want to talk about next? We got another Kickstarter.
Yeah, we could do that.
This one was cool. This Kickstarter was cool because I like when they let you change the name that you put on the like
Oh, is your backer name?
as your backer name.
Are you a Big Dick McGillicuddy?
I was Big Dick McGillicuddy.
Thought that was you.
No, and it was cool how he did it because I just put Geek Brunch Podcast and then I guess he did research and he looked at it and obviously put our entire website name on it. Because I did not say it. It says who what is the name you want to put on there? And I said Geek Brunch Podcast, and I didn't give him the website or the at Geek Brunch, you know. And we got like our own page of four different people on there.
Yeah, we're one of the vampire
Five,
dens.
yeah.
Well, it's funny because guess what I put for my name?
You're just Bill Bomer.
That's not what I told him though.
You were a Big Dick McGillicuddy.
McGillicuddy. No, I said Geek Brunch Podcast as well.
No, you didn't, because your name Bill Bomer shows up
Well,
here.
I did, but then he said that he had space for to put us in the den, so he upgraded us to the den.
Ah, Because you put Big Dick McGillicuddy? I don't get it. You put us in a den because you wanted to be Big
Because
Dick
Big Dick
McGillicuddy?
McGillicuddy, yeah. It's logical.
This one I dug because I like the presentation. I like the square bind. It's an interesting square bind because the way it bends back, it has a deeper indentation. I don't know how to say it, but
So you like the binding?
I like the binding. I like the page thickness. I like the cover stock. Like it's real thick. It's like
It
a
is
DC
thick.
Deluxe format. And I like the content material because it's in the vein of like Vampire Hunters. And I like the premise behind it, like of what the financer of these Vampire Hunters is in it for what I would say selfish reasons.
Yeah. So we should probably say that the title of this
Yeah, this title is called Sucka.
it's Sucker, written by Jason McNamara with art by Tony Talbert.
And he's also part of the plot.
Who is? Oh,
How did you get this Kickstarter, by the way? Did you, I mean, did you just find it? Do you just randomly go and find it?
I don't remember.
I didn't seek this one out. I like it's usually a friend of somebody or like the Palmiotti's doing one or Luke Foster or somebody that I'm gonna sponsor, right? They sponsor, and because I'm there already, I'll poke around and look for things, and that's how I usually find Kickstarters. Kickstarters that I haven't supported before. Is I usually go in there for a reason, start browsing, and then pick it. That's probably why I picked it. And then you get the sexy vampire on the cover, and it's like, okay, you got my. And I like,
Got my
I
attention.
actually like when they give you interiors too. Like they'll give you like.
Oh, to see some pages.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a must, I think.
I like to know if it's in color. I like to know the art style, like if it's something that I'm gonna like would go with this book. And I like to at least know the premise of the book to see if I like it.
I need to see a couple of pages because I need to read the writing to see if it's gonna if it's any good. But this one, I already knew of Jason McNamara because he did the Martian Confederacy, which I liked.
I don't know what that is.
Actually reviewed the first volume on this show, like probably around 8 years ago.
Well, maybe I ought to go back and listen to that episode.
And I picked up the Rattler when that came out in pre it was in previews a couple of years ago, a year ago, something like that,
Yeah.
which I still haven't read, but and for so for so for this Kickstarter, one of the reward levels was Jason would review your comic review a comic script.
Oh, so you sent him the liquor?
No, he's not doing the liquor. He's doing my space station, my prison space station
The one that
script.
you stole from me.
I didn't steal
The
that from
insane asylum in space?
It's not an asylum in space.
Oh, but I changed it.
It was a ri we came up with an asylum in space
And then
alive on the
you
show.
yeah, that was awesome 'cause that had the person that thought he was Laurel and Hardy. Do you remember that? That
I
was
still have
fucking awesome.
that
That guy, so you stole my
guy.
idea.
I stole that
Damn
guy,
it. And then we're gonna have a McNamara comic come out in 2 years and it's gonna have a Laurel and Hardy character in
only
it.
character.
If it does, I'm gonna kill you.
You
'Cause
can
that
still do that.
character was great. He was so wacky. He was both characters.
I'm sure my interpretation of him is completely different than yours. And you can still do it because I don't actually mention Laurel and Hardy.
Oh.
not gonna pay for the rights to mention Laurel and Hardy. So you'd have to, and whether or not my interpretation of Laurel and Hardy is accurate is another question. So
Well, are you a Laurel and Hardy fan? Like, would you be
I
able
am
to
a Laurel
poke?
and Hardy fan,
Okay, so you know their mannerisms.
but it's not easy to mimic their banter.
It's not because a lot of their banter is based on delivery and timing.
And they're
And
better jokers
his
than
whiny expressions. It's Hardy getting frustrated and Laurel doing that little weird face of his.
Yes.
Barb posted a, I think it was Barb posted a Laurel and Hardy clip on Twitter the other day, and I watched it and it's hilarious. It's like them driving a fish truck, and he's telling Hardy, you know, we'd make more profit if we caught the fish ourselves. Then we don't have to buy the fish, and then you know we could sell the fish, and then it would all be profit. And then Hardy says, "Well, tell me that again." And then he can't remember how they make the profit, so he's just sitting there spinning. And they said, "Never mind," and they go about their business selling the fish that they bought.
Hard because and a lot of it is Laurel like misinterpreting what Hardy said
Yeah.
and making it into a joke.
Yeah, they were great. I
Like
love
his one
them.
line, he has amazing one-liners.
Yes, he does. They were a duo. I mean, there's certain comedic duos that I don't think you can never get that magic. Like them, the Marx Brothers, man. I am just amazed by how ahead of their time. At least I think they were. There's amazing sophistication level of a comedy, in my opinion. But anyway, did he read your script?
Yeah, well, he so
And he said it sucked.
it's five issues. He's gone through the first two so far.
Is he giving you editorial note?
He's giving me, he's actually, I think, going above and beyond what he needs to do. He's giving me a lot of good information.
Well, that's sorry about that. I had to get a water out of a piece of plastic.
I hate when that happens.
Well, I was getting that itch in my throat, like where you're gonna start coughing.
You should prepare. You didn't have a
Yeah.
bottle of water right next to you, ready to go. Well, I guess you did. It was
I
just in
had a
plastic.
Dr. Pepper, but I finished it already.
Oh, there you go. I wish I had a Dr. Pepper.
So, would you say though that this tier level? Because you went this extra tier level where he's reading your script, was attractive, like it kind of drove you to buy this. Like you looked at the tiers and said, "Oh, I really like this to be done."
Probably, because when I saw that he was offering this, it certainly enticed me to support it. But I probably would have anyway, just because I like his writing.
Yeah.
But I would have done it just at the regular level, I'm sure.
And there's artistic panels in here, especially when he draws like the female form. There's several times there's a female. Well, there's the one girl that's kind of like a prostitute, right?
She's not kind of like a
She
prostitute.
is a prostitute.
I kind of like a prostitute. I'm kind of a prostitute.
But when he draws her, the artist, I get like this Kelly Jones vibe, like from old Batman, or you know, like when he was drawing some Deadman, or I get this vibe that he's influenced by him, and I really like it. I really like it a lot. But I even like the way he opens it up because it simply opens up like two guys just breaking into this
It
person's
almost
house
opens
that.
like that one 215 book, or no, not 215, well,
Oh, the
four,
storage unit?
yeah, storage unit.
Kind of like that, yeah.
They go into a storage unit and find that
This
all,
one,
then it gets a dead body.
well, this one, I think they know the people are well to do. And
Yeah, they
they
break into a rich
but they
people's
don't know what's going to be in
storage locker.
this storage area, because what they're hoping for is something that they can blackmail them with.
Yeah, they heard the rumor that they had this storage unit and no one's gone in it, and they figure that there's either something really valuable in it or something that they're trying to hide that they'll be able to, blackmail them for.
Yeah.
Over.
And that turns into a disaster because, well, they find a dead body and they're like, yeah, we're gonna blackmail the
Yeah, they're
shit
like,
out of
oh
these
man,
guys.
we're gonna be rolling in the
We're
dough.
gonna roll in the dough, and it turns out to be like a vampire, and he fucking kills both of them.
Yeah, it's bad news.
And he escapes. And that's when, like, the alarm goes off, this pager, like, they're alerted, like, the one guy's in a confessional, like he's receiving confession from some guy saying, I have these nasty thoughts. And he's like, well, say 10 Hail Marys and for our fathers. And he's get paged and he's got, I gotta go, I gotta go. And then the other guy has like a little kid with him, and he's at a bar, and he really doesn't like the mother that he divorced. You can tell he's bitter towards it. And he's like a detective type dude. More of a badass guy, and he gets paged, and then they go to like this area where there's a doctor, creepy ass looking mortician type doctor that they
He
worked
looks
with.
like a classic vampire.
He looks, yeah, he did look like a vampire the way he was drawn, and he's the one that does all the science behind it, but introduces them to like an FBI agent who's going to be taking his place.
Yeah, she's like an FBI medical, whatever, for pathologist.
And then there's this really rich woman, an older woman who's has all the money, that formed this organization.
She owns like a corporation too,
Yeah,
doesn't
she
she?
like a defense contractor. A matter of fact, there's a reporter that's telling, you know, we're going to take away your defense contracts or whatever because of, I guess, something. It doesn't really go into
Now,
the detail.
is her company selling a pill that's supposedly a vaccine for vampirism?
I think so. Yeah.
But then I think that's what it is, and then the public is kind of saying like, why is the government spending money on this? It's stupid, and there's no such thing as vampires.
Right, because they've done such a good job of hiding it,
Right.
I guess.
They've wiped out the vampires for the most
Yeah.
part. But I think they've pretty much entirely wiped out the vampires at this point.
Yeah, and that's, well,
The story opens.
thought they did. Yeah.
Yeah. So now they find out that there's this new vampire, so they have to get the team back together to try and stop this new vampire.
But when they stop a vampire, they pretty much capture the corpse and then butcher the hell out of the vampire, trying to do science to try and the secret to immortality
Right, and
for the woman.
that's the woman's end goal. She wants to get immortality. And then they jump to at one point in the story, they jump to like 10 years earlier, when they were actively hunting vampires, and they went to this like, was it like a whorehouse, a vampire
Yeah,
whorehouse or something?
it almost that part had a vibe of like the Quentin Tarantino one, the movie with the vampires in it. What is that one called with George Clooney and Quentin Tarantino from Dusk Till Dawn?
Yeah, just hold on.
It had a kind of vibe like a vampire whorehouse. And the priest was in there, and the one guy was joking like you couldn't even get laid in this vampire whorehouse. I liked it.
Good. And there's a lot of he plays up the like the cheesy B movie dialogue in some places.
Yeah.
That's pretty funny.
The only thing I was really disappointed of with is be I don't know when that we'll get the sequel to this. Like it ends.
Yeah, it ends mid-story.
It ends mid-story, and it kind of ends in a crazy way because they capture this vampire that they're after, but this vampire has evolved into something different that they haven't seen before. So when they've had him tied down and they're torturing him,
They couldn't ca yeah, couldn't keep
yeah, they
him.
couldn't keep him captured, and he breaks loose, and all hell breaks loose, and we have to wait for another volume. It's like, no!
Gotta tell you though, that end panel is awesome.
It is.
It reminds me of like a old like a 80s horror comic cover. Like Gore
Yeah.
Shriek or something.
I love the way he draws the woman though too, because to me the women look like Kelly Jones art. I don't know what it is, but especially this blonde woman, like when she's being questioned by the new FBI agent, the new doctor that's taking over that wants to test her. He says, "We know you're not bit, but we want to see if he's had sex with you." She basically says, "We want to need to perform a cervical bio, what is it called?
Biopsy.
Biopsy.
Yeah, and she's like,
Is
you
that how
can't
you
do that
spell
without my.
biopsy?"
I don't know, I'm just guessing. That's
It
what
says
it was.
bio psi s.
Let me
It's
find
not.
it.
I thought biopsy ended with a y.
It's a oh, biopsis.
Biopsis. There you go. I've never heard that word before. I would have said biopsy, but that's probably the more medical term to use. Says, "You can't do that without my permission." Actually, I can and I will. I'm an American, I have rights. You gave that all up when you raw dogged a supernatural hellhound. I dig it.
That
You raw dogged.
was good. Your odd dog to supernatural hell town.
And I couldn't even tell, like, one of the first things he does is he breaks into this guy's house and he was having a hooker sent over, and
Well,
he
it was
kills that guy.
his old apartment, like where he used to live when he was
Oh yeah,
alive.
because that's how they found him. That's right.
Yeah, that's what they said. They always go back to their old house.
Yeah, the one guy's
So
arrogant. He
he
goes,
goes
"It's
back there and kills
this
the
is
dude.
easy."
He kills the dude, and he's just lucky that the dude had ordered a hooker.
And then she comes in, but he's like weird. He doesn't want to kill her right away. He's like, "Ooh, you kind of stink." Like he's been like in a storage unit for like ever. He smells like ass. I mean, this guy's awful smelling. And he goes, "Why don't you bathe me?" She takes him in there and bathes him. And then he's like, "I want to eat. I'm getting hungry." And he really wants to bite her neck. And he's like, "I think there's some cold cuts in the refrigerator." And that's when all hell breaks loose. The other guys come in. Was a very fun. See, every time I get discouraged with Kickstarters, I get a Kickstarter like this, and then I get pumped again.
Yeah, this is good. It's very like some of it's tongue in cheek B movie, but there's still a lot of action, and all the joke, all the like what I would classify as B movie jokes are all really funny.
Yeah, I would say if you're a fan of From Dusk Till Dawn or Lost Boys, you like this thing.
Yeah, and I don't know if this is gonna end up in previews or what.
I have no idea.
I'm sure it'll be made available somewhere.
Real worth it though. I definitely want to get the second volume. I assume I'll get an email saying Sucker Book 2 is ready.
They usually do an update when they bring out the next Kickstarter to
There's
alert
one guy,
people.
and I'm so stupid. Like, he puts out these awesome Kickstarters about war books and stuff, like reprints, and I always fall for him, but I haven't received one damn one yet. So, like, I have three in progress, and I'm like, I can't, I'm not, I don't want to.
Can't do
I don't
anymore.
want to do anymore because I haven't gotten anything.
I think that's the guy. Isn't that the guy who
His name is
used?
Drew Ford.
Yeah, I think he used to be the editor at Dover,
Oh, really?
because they used to publish those.
Reprints of
Yeah, the
Glassman and stuff
yeah,
like that.
reprints of
Yeah.
well, they used to do stuff, and they did like I think they were the ones who did like the Puma Blues. Yeah, Puma Blues co collection they did, and a couple other ones.
Yeah. Well, he's doing collections. I think one of them is, if I remember correctly, it's Scout. It's like Tim Truman Scout. He's doing a Glassman. He's doing two more
Yeah, he does
Glassman
a bunch of
ones.
Gleisman ones, yeah.
And man, I just want one of them just to
Just
arrive.
have.
I'm like itching
But I
at the
don't think it's
bit.
Dover anymore. I don't know if he's on his own or if
I
he's
think
with
he's
someone
on his
else now.
own.
Okay.
And one of the
Yeah.
things that worried me is I got an email saying that the guy that he was doing the printing with kind of took his money or something like that, or the reproduction was doing the repro work, whatever he does to do the repro work of the original
Oh, so
material.
like remastered or
Yeah,
whatever.
he kind of like ditched them or something. So I'm like,
It's
oh man, I
probably.
wonder if I'll ever get these things. And then there's one that I was really impressed with that I supported, and I gotten two from them like clockwork, and this third one is like taking forever. It's like Jungle Girl or something like that. I can't remember what it is. Oh, Primal. It's called Primal. It's about like a jungle girl, like Sheena or something. And I really dug it. And this one I've been waiting forever. Like it's just ugh.
Yeah, that stinks. I've got a few that I haven't gotten anything for yet. Will I ever? Who knows?
But since we're on Kickstarter, I read another one.
All
And
right.
I want to talk about it real quick. I love this one so much. It's the second issue to the Not So Golden Age. It's number two from Yooglee Studios. And
Ugly?
ugly, but it's spelled with a Y. I mean, not with a Y, it's spelled with an I. And these guys do a Kickstarter. And what they did is they take public domain Golden Age characters and they put them in a trailer park of retirement home. And like this guy Blue Bolt is like the guy that's running the retirement home. And the whole premise of this, God, it's awesome. It's actually funny. And they have like these fake ads that are pretty funny. It opens up like these guys are all retired heroes. It's like Blue Bolt, the Green Mask, the Gay Desperado, Phantasmo, and Jetpack. They're all playing Dungeons and Dragons, or they're getting introduced to Dungeons and Dragons. And Blue Bolt is the Dragon Master, and I've never played Dungeon Master, and I've never played Dungeons and Dragons, but I get the gist of it. It seems like a highly complicated game. And you have to read a lot of manuals to understand everything, but it's like choose your own adventure, and the Dungeon Master guides you through this weird stuff. And these guys are like me. They never play. It's like if DC Noise played D&D for the first time, and they don't have a clue what's going on. The only guy that's like done a lot of research is Jetpack, because he's like read every single manual and he's like saying all these different terms, and he says, you gotta take baby steps. You can't be this like four level dwarf or whatever. I don't know what he was gonna be. And then my favorite character comes in, the Deathless Brain. Okay, the Deathless Brain is a brain that's in this robotic looking, vacuum looking thing. And he comes in and he makes fun of him. He's like, "Hey, nerds!" You know, he always drinks and stuff. He makes fun of him. He's looking for his weed. He's a retired villain that he used to fight these heroes, and he destroys their game of D&D. He basically he's t so stoned he fucks up their game, and he falls over, and the lid comes off of the part where the brain leaks out, and the brain leaks out and Blue Bolt says, "Screw this! You've ruined our game. I'm not gonna put you back into your tank. I'm gonna let you sit on the carpet all night long." And he lets him, and then he goes missing. And the whole thing is a mystery of how he has to get back the brain. And a bunch of yuppies move into the trailer park, and he's threatened. And they're doing like awful things with like drones and One of them is like, it's kind of like part of Nerdy Legion, because they had one episode where they just talked about beer waxes and shit like that. It's like putting gels into your beard and all this crap. These yuppies that move
Yes.
into the area, there's one of the guys. I was like, "That's nerd. That's Martin right there. He's talking. He's making like a beard wax." One of them just files drones and then chases around one of the superheroes' cats. And this whole adventure is for them to find the Deathless Brain, and they actually find out that the robot is what kind of was causing this, because an ex-lover of Blue Bolt wanted him and was manifesting herself in the robotic body that the Deathless Brain was in. So it was really crazy. And then the second story is, I almost thought the comic was over, and then it goes into another short story of Days of Tomorrow Yesterday, and Blue Bolt is fixing a toilet, and this other hero, he went to the grocery store, and I guess they were having a sale on cabbage, so he bought like a shitload of cabbage, and he like shit so much with this cabbage that his toilet got clogged, and the Blue Bolt's trying to unclog his toilet, and he ends up in this like time display where the Deathless Brain had actually taken over in the future because they didn't give him enough beer. So when he gets back from this delusional state, when he was fixing the toilet, he goes back and buys the Deathless Brain a whole bunch of beer and pot and everything to keep him stone so he doesn't take over the world. And in the process he goes, God, I'm glad I read that. The Deathless Brain is like, I'm glad I read that comic book about these hypnotizing spinners, and I bought one. And he basically hypnotized Blue Bolt to thinking he had to bring in more beer. So it's just like this humorous tone about a bunch of Golden Age characters that nobody cares about anymore, living in a trailer park. And every time, like, somebody dies or there's a mystery to be solved, and this guy that kind of runs the trailer park for this lady, Blue Bolt, he has to go and fix things and solve the mysteries, and it's pretty much done in one. Like, if you bought issue 2 by itself, you would get a complete story just as long as you did. You wouldn't have to have bought issue 1. There's only one reference in there, like one footnote saying if you bought issue 1, you would know what this is about. But other than that, it's pretty much done in one story.
I didn't know it was that humorous when it
Yeah,
was getting solicited.
it's pretty freaking humorous.
Gonna have to pick that up.
Yeah. And it's like one of those things like we were talking about, the timing is really good on the comedy. 'Cause I think comedy is really hard to do in a comic format, but he manages to pull it off pretty good. Like I really dig it.
Like the art too.
Yeah, the art's amazing. And the ads and stuff that they put in here are like, it has a Muscle Matt ad and it says the insult that turned Mac into a dickweed. And it's one of those Atlas like type comics
Yeah,
about
the
muscles.
kicking sand in the
Yeah.
face.
I didn't read I didn't read the back matter, and I really do now because it actually has covers to Blue Bolt, like Golden Age covers. And God, oh, this is awesome. It's got the cast of characters because, like, Black Angel's in it. It tells you where they appeared, first appearance. Like, the gay desperado was really a character in Punch Comics number 14.
Oh, they give the reference.
Yeah. The
Oh.
Deathless Brain, Air Fighter Comics number 1. I actually love this Deathless Brain. Like, he is my favorite in the whole. Blue Bolt and the Deathless Brain are my favorite in this whole series. I love that they can do this, Bill. Like that
Oh,
they can
use the, yeah,
public
the
domain
public
characters in
domain
their own
characters.
stories. Yeah.
And it's good. I think it's smart taking it in a different direction, like not trying to reproduce what was done before. Like, just take it and just go crazy with it. Why? I mean, why not, right? That appeals to me. I'm gonna have to buy. I'm gonna have to. I see that these are available. Number one and number two are available, so I'm gonna have to order them.
It's fantastic. And then the way they do the pages, like it's really nice cover stock, really nice pages.
They're 36 pages. That's pretty impressive.
And then they use like this, like they use like this tint on the page that makes it like tanned to make the page look old.
Okay.
Do you know like when
Yeah,
tanning starts to affect the Golden Age books?
I've seen that done before.
Yeah, that's awesome. So like another Kickstarter that I
Okay,
really
I'm gonna
enjoy.
order them right now as we speak.
Yeah, it's fun. How do you order them? Do you go to their website or
I just did a search for it, and yeah,
Not So Golden Age?
they have an Etsy page.
I can't wait for the next one because I gotta read the back material. I was reading this like early this morning right before breakfast, and I was like, I didn't get a chance to read the back matter, but now I saw that there was a page there of all the Blue Bolt stuff, and I love that
The
historical
history.
stuff. Yeah,
Yeah, no, I like that
big into
stuff
that.
too.
I just love it. So
Yeah, it's cool that they included that. I mean, it makes sense that they would. So I'm glad that they did.
it even has me like thinking maybe I need some of these characters in my own collection, you know?
Put it in your comic?
No, in my
Oh, you mean the
actual
original
physical
issues?
collection,
Yeah,
yeah. If I
I
can find a
gotcha.
copy at a con or something of
I thought you meant
Blue
you're gonna
Bolt.
put some of those in
No, my
have the
characters are
guesser
all
go
gonna be,
find.
mine are all originally effed up characters that will never make it anywhere.
Will never make it in a collection such as this.
No. Shit, they're already public domain. They haven't even come out yet. Did we talk about everything? What, we only had like one more book, right? Oh, I remember which one we had. You wanted to cover Skin and Earth.
Skin and Earth by Lights. Lights.
This one, I'll just flat out say, I liked it more early than I liked it.
Was gonna say, this one started in your genre and then it switched to the genre you hate.
Yeah. It was in my wheelhouse of like that dystopian
It was
thing.
a dystopian, it was a perfect dystopian future of a story. And then it jumped to the fantasy.
Well, the first. I think I was captivated by the first three issues. Like I was still into the story. I was still into this world. And then as time went on, like four, I was still into it. Five, I was starting to lose interest. And then six, I was gone. Like it just deteriorated. And then I saw all these ads. Okay, so I was like, man, this chick looks pretty cool. I wonder what her music was like. So as part of this, I went to go try out her music, and not until the sixth issue did it even say, like, okay, this goes with chapter one, this goes with chapter two. They all have like two songs per volume,
Yeah.
and
Well, in the trade they have like QR codes you can scan at the beginning of each chapter. I don't know if that was in the comic. I don't remember.
I don't think it is, but
Okay.
I just did out of curiosity because the one thing they had good that I kind of liked is back matter. It kind of showed pictures of cosplayers doing characters of Lights' creation, and it showed the album and her on the album cover, and
Yeah,
it got me to want to at least listen to the music. I tried the music and I didn't like it.
it's terrible.
It felt
Well,
very technical, like techno. Like techno pop,
yeah, it's techno pop.
and her voice didn't like resonate with me at all. So I sampled like, what I did is I went to YouTube and I kind of like sampled six songs, like one from each chapter, like just to
Yeah.
see. And I was like, oh man, this isn't for me. I was hoping to find one song that was badass because the album cover and her design, like what she wears, is pretty badass. I like it. It's just the music didn't appeal to me. It wasn't in my wheelhouse.
No, it's not. It's nowhere near my wheelhouse either.
And it
But she's
wasn't.
apparently popular because in the back here it says.
Oh yeah, she had a big concert and like she toured the country. She went to Denver. She went to all the major
Yeah, and
cities.
she's Canadian. She's won 3 Juno Awards, which is the Canadian Music Awards,
Yeah.
including a 2008 win for Pop Album of the Year, 3 Gold Album certifications. So she's very popular. So people do like her music. I mean, it is pop music. But yeah, it's not in my wheelhouse. I think I get a free download.
What am I looking at, Barb?
A blue jay.
Blue
Just
jay? What?
right
Oh,
there.
shit! I
They
was
got a
looking at the
bay out there.
squirrel all pissed off. That's awesome. What are we doing with the blue? We've never had a blue jay. Take a picture!
Last year there was one.
Oh my god!
There was one last year.
Wow, that's pretty. I've never seen that before.
Take a picture. Post it
Yeah, that's
on
what Barb's
the
doing.
birds of Instagram.
Barb was like pointing at me like, go look, go
Look at the
look. And I'm, no,
squirrel.
but the squirrel is on the fence and he's all pissed off doing like his ch-ch-ch. I guess he doesn't want to come because the blue jay's eating the food. Yeah, that's pretty crazy. I've never seen a blue jay there before. We've gotten some interesting birds this year. We've had birds of prey, which is freaking awesome. Like, I just waiting for an owl. If we get an owl, I'll be like, we've achieved greatness. But it's that's pretty cool. Never seen that before. Well, sorry for the interruption. I forgot where I was at or what we were talking about. It
Music.
was lights.
Oh, you
We're
reminded me of something.
talking about the tour.
You reminded me of something in a sucker I wanted to mention right in the
Okay.
very beginning. Let me read it. It's a quote. Let me find it. Will I be able to find it?
Was it when they were breaking into the storage place?
Maybe it wasn't at the beginning. I can't find it now.
Lilith.
It was a reference to Lilith.
Lilith.
Lilith, yeah, because from
Oh, Lilith, the
the Bible.
vampire in the
No.
Bible, the one
Yeah.
that betrayer of
Yeah, the betrayer of all mankind.
all mankind, Lilith, the one that Luke defends, Luke
Defense.
Foster, he gets
That's
all
what.
offended.
Well, he's a follower of
He's a
Lilith.
follower of Lilith.
Don't trust Lilith. This will lead you astray. I can't find it now. Yeah, there was a Lilith line. Maybe it was in the whorehouse.
It wasn't at the beginning, I don't think, because those guys are just trying to.
Yeah. No, they wouldn't say anything about Lilith.
I was talking
Here we
about a.
go. It's when they broke into the apartment where the vampire was with the prostitute. He says,
Yeah.
"Ruth Jacobs, child of Lilith, your days of mischief are at an end."
How did a blue jay make you remind you of that?
I don't want to say.
You don't want to say?
Well, because I was going to say, thanks to Barb taking our show and turning it into the Nature Channel again.
Yeah, she did. She didn't sneeze though, which I'm
And I was going to
surprised.
say, don't be a Lilith, Barb.
Yeah, don't be a Lilith. Yeah, but I like got interested in the back matter. And the one thing I would say is like I thought the first three issues are really great and then it kind of lost me, but she's pretty freaking talented if she wrote did this whole book herself.
It's amazing that she's doing
That's
it
pretty freaking
while
amazing.
simultaneously having like this music career.
Right, and then she's
Like, how the
touring in
hell
the
did she
same
do
year and
it?
going to cons in the same year. Yeah. She must
How
have done this
possibly?
like while she was creating the album and like say, okay, this is, you know, how I'm
like on
feeling.
Tour bus or something? I don't know.
Yeah.
She must just be working on it like in all her downtime. But how? But she was doing it while doing the concept album.
Yeah.
And touring. That's amazing.
Pretty freaking impressive.
It is. And the art, and well, what's even more impressive is the art is good.
Yeah, I like the art. I did like the art. And I like the story. I mean, the story was kind of weird. At least it, for me, it went off the rails just because of what it went into.
Yeah.
I like the dystopian future, how the environment, you know, destroyed the world, and there was like this rich sector and the poor sector.
Yeah, and the corporation.
And she was part.
The world was destroyed by this corporation who are extracting basically any natural resources possible from the earth, and just left it the shell of the earth behind.
But that corporation went into crazy town by issue 6.
Yes, it did.
It went into crazy town. Well, I even liked. Well, her name was N. And
yes.
I can't remember the deity's name. She went by something. It was like Zhao or Toh or something like that.
I don't remember.
She was her friend. Like, she became a friend of hers. And they even went to the boyfriend's house in one scene, and they, like, trashed his car as he was, like, on a drug. Like, on a drug
Yeah, that
trip.
Was the other thing. The people, the rich people in the nice parts of town are all like hooked on this drug that pretty much makes them comatose for the weekend.
Yeah. And it's kind of has like a love story to it, 'cause she really loved this guy, mm-hmm. and he sort of betrayed her, but later on you find out that he didn't sort of betray her, why he did what he did. He basically ditched her so this deity couldn't get to her, because that's what she wanted. A sacrifice.
Right, his intentions initially were not very noble, but he kind of fell for her, so then he changed his mind. But it was too late.
Yeah, this deity is kind of like a Lilith. She's a soul sucker.
Soul sucker, yeah, she is.
Literally, she sucks souls, and this corporation was giving her souls to suck.
Can why I were get... they doing that? I got kind of lost as to why they were doing it.
It sounded like that entity was born normal, like, and as she grew up, her powers started to manifest, and her mother kind of kept her in the dark.
Mm-hmm.
All the time, because she was afraid that her powers
she sucked all the souls, yeah.
And her powers, she eventually died but came back, and she was even more powerful. And then she made a pact with this part of town, and they would like donate
the corporation.
Souls.
Yeah,
the corporation. They could keep that part of town, but they would have to like donate souls to her. And then she would kill him. I mean, it's almost like she would suck the souls, but the body would still manifest. And you find out that N's mother was part of that soul sucking. Like, she sucked her soul, too.
Mm-hmm. Right. And that's what, there was always people in the poor side of town who went missing. And people always thought that they just kind of gave up and wandered off into the desert.
Yeah.
But which they kind of did, but they were getting their souls stolen.
Mm-hmm.
I liked it. I thought it was really good.
I liked it, but
yeah, it got out of your wheelhouse halfway through.
I think I rated like one to like 4 out of 5, if not a 5 out of 5, because I liked it a lot. And then issue 2 I read right away too, because I liked 1.
Mm-hmm.
And I also gave that probably a 4 out of 5. And then everything after that was a 3 out of 5. So I averaged it to a 3 out of 5. But I'm extremely impressed with this woman's talents. Like, she tells a competent story. Just because it went into something that I don't care for doesn't mean it wasn't good.
Yeah, it was still well told.
Was still well told. The art was still pretty amazing. I like the back matter. If you're into music and you like that music, it would be an interesting experiment to read the whole thing and then listen to the songs of each chapter if you like
it. Yeah, because there's like in the front of the trade, it gives like the mapping of what songs go with which chapter. And like I said, in the book itself, there's QR codes so you can just scan the code and listen to the song as you're reading.
Ah.
Try to do that to see what the experience becomes.
Mm-hmm. So those were the only ones that we like tag teamed on.
Yes.
Sucker was, I thought it was going to be like a longer read, but it didn't take like no time to read. It was just like a really, you know, I sit down and read and it was very fast paced and a well balanced comic with words and art, you know, like it wasn't too much words and wasn't too much art. It was just had exactly the perfect amount, in my opinion. Skin and Earth.
that should be a pull quote in the back of a comic. The perfect balance of words and art.
Yeah, there you go. Geek Brunch. The Skin and Earth, I liked the pacing of it early, but when it got towards 6, which was double sized, by the way, you probably don't notice this in trade, but 6 was like a $7.99 book, and it was sort of double sized.
Okay, I did notice that it went on longer than I thought it was going to.
But that had a lot of like, man, that story when she's trying to explain it, I don't think the explanation was really good executed. It was kind of dry. Like, I was like, oh, God. There was all these caption boxes, and it was kind of like telling you, and you read a lot of captions, and the art, it didn't, like, it's kind of took
you out.
Yeah,
there was
out.
A lot of explanation at the end.
Yeah. It wasn't as balanced well. Like, I think they could have put some of that explanation. Even though that's like the climax, I would have liked it to have funneled out somehow in the story. Maybe through the story that the mother was telling the daughter, because it was really a story of truth instead of a fairy tale.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, well, it's probably a rookie decision on her part to do an info dump at the end to kind of explain.
To tie all the loose ends.
To tie it all together. Where I think with more experience, you learn how to weave that in more to the story.
Yeah. We have some questions, Bill.
Oh, boy. I mean, yes! Wait, I'm ordering some comics. Let me place my order here.
What are you ordering? Oh, you're ordering
Not So Golden Age.
Not So Golden Age. Good choice. You'll like it.
Done.
I didn't even check to see if my name was back here. I'm going to have to find it. Oh, there it is. Geek Brunch Podcast.
There you go.
Woohoo!
We made it. We finally made it.
We made it. We're in 2 Kickstarters, man.
We're in all the Kickstarter books.
Except there's a Bill Bomer that appears every now and then. He's like, Bill Bomer.
Occasionally there's a Bill Bomer.
He wants all the credit.
So arrogant.
He's like that guy in goddamn Fearscape. Pretentiousness. it's all about me.
My name is... Bill Bomer supported this.
Yeah, pretty soon the podcast will be called Bill Bomer Presents Geek Brunch. So Nick says, if you had to have either Cloak or Dagger's power set, which would you take? Hope to hear your thoughts on the TV show. I kind of gave them. I loved it.
Yeah, you answered the question in arrears. No, in ahead of time. What's
it
called?
Yeah, ahead of time. I'm sure Bill will choose Dagger because of the revealing costume. His body is a wonderland.
I probably would choose dagger.
You would like to feed upon people's hopes.
Who would I choose? I don't know. They go together, so you can, how do you separate the two?
I would choose cloak. Well, you could come into my cloak, Bill. You'll be my light. I'll be your darkness. I'll choose darkness. I'll put your wonderland in my body.
You'll open your...
I'll open my cloak for you.
You'll open your cloak and say, come on. Come on in, little boy.
Yeah, come on in. It's nice and warm in here.
Don't
Plus,
be afraid.
I could teleport. I think that'd be pretty cool. I could teleport.
Yeah, I would like teleportation.
Yeah, I could just zoom over to the con, then zoom back.
I think...
And then I could carry all the comics I want inside my cave.
Ooh, I didn't think about that.
Oh my god, storage wise, Barb would be in heaven. Yeah. Barb would be like, fuck yeah.
So, you'd be able to go to every con.
I'd be able to go to every con. Not only that, but Barb would have like this really clean house with no comics.
Oh, yeah, like,
anywhere,
comic
it'd all be in my cloak. And then I could just go into my cloak and say, oh, I feel like reading this. I'll just go grab it.
Change my vote.
No, your dagger. You could come into my cloak and read if you like.
I can hang out and read.
We need light inside the cloak so we can read.
I'll bring a flashlight.
You got your daggers, your light.
I'll be like, Mike! Pass me in the Dr. Pepper. You like slide it in. Okay.
All right, so the next
I was talking to one of my kids about powers and what the best power would be. And we determined that teleportation would probably be the best one, like the most useful, practical power to have.
Well, I love, though, it's deeper with Cloak because you have infinite space in there.
Yeah, that would be nice, too. Infinite.
He's a soul sucker, too, man. He'll torture people in there, but...
We don't care about that.
I don't care about that. I just want to keep my comics and toys in there. And shit, I would just buy more and more because, like, space wasn't a limitation. I would just say, I'm going to put it in my cape. Put it in my body.
Put it in my body.
Get all these comics inside me. Inside me.
But yeah, if you teleport, you can just teleport to the middle of a convention. Like, right now, you could be at New York Comic Con.
I could.
You're like, I'll take that.
And I could take Barb to see her guy. I could just put her in my cloak and say, look, you're here with Alan, and you can see whatever.
You could transport right behind him.
Yeah.
You could put him in the cloak.
I could put him in the cloak as well.
Barb. He's like, what are you doing in there?
No, I wouldn't want that. I wouldn't want to know that. I wouldn't want any of that nastiness inside my cloak.
You transport behind him. All of a sudden, Barb's hand comes out of your cloak and grabs him and pulls him in.
I'm like, no.
Like, no.
No. Barb would say, what the fuck are all these comics in here for?
She'll say, I was just rubbing his abs.
Yeah, I just rubbing his abs. Just like ice cold water guy all over again. So that was a good question. It actually took me down a rabbit hole. Those are cool powers, man, especially for a hardcore comic collector. Oh, my God.
I love it. Oh, man, that'd be the best.
That's
paradise.
Such
a collection. You're like, want to see my collection? And then you open your jacket.
I actually think at one point they explored Cloak not having to eat either. That's pretty awesome. Because if you don't have to eat, you don't have to worry about your health. Shit, I wouldn't go to work. I would just go into my cloak and read comics. It'd be like vacation all the time. I'm not saving justice. I'm just sitting here reading comics.
And people would come over and be like, where's Mike? And why has that cloak been hanging on your... on the coat rack for 3 years? Oh, he's in there.
He's in there reading.
He's just reading.
Leave him alone.
Every once in a while, the cloak disappears and comes back. Right around the time of a convention, it's weird.
Oh shit, convention's all year round, so I'd just be teleporting.
Every weekend it disappears and comes back.
But I can't imagine being like it, like being able to teleport to like cons and not having to worry about like, well, how do I get this stuff back? Because that like limits me sometimes. Like, I'm only gonna take X amount because I could fit this into my suitcase.
Yeah, totally.
But shit, if I could just go nuts and shit, I would just cloak all those comics in there. I'd be a bad guy. No.
Take the whole booth. Where'd my booth go?
Whoosh. Mile High Comics, you're mine.
Mile High guy who's walking to their warehouse. It's
Yeah,
empty.
it's empty. So his next question is, what Halloweeny reading movies would you recommend? Oh, I'll tell you right now, one of Bill's favorite is The Antichrist. Go watch that.
That would be a good Halloween movie.
Yeah, Nick, you gotta go watch The Antichrist. I don't know if it's available anymore, but you gotta find it. That's the most pretentious shit I've ever seen in my life of a horror movie.
Probably seen it. Or he probably
No,
knows.
I doubt it. If he's seen The
Yeah, he
Antichrist,
probably hasn't seen
I'd
it.
be shocked.
That would freak his shit.
Oh, he doesn't like horror movies.
Why is he asking this question?
Why is he asking this? Yeah, why? I guess you have to tame this question to something that's like not scary. Like, I
What not scary Halloween movies are there?
don't know. There.
I don't know. I'm gonna write one though. That's a good idea. I'm gonna make a
A
note.
not scary Halloween movie?
Yeah, right. I'm gonna write a not scary Halloween movie. Not scary Halloween. That's what's called. Copyright.
Not so
Geek Brunch.
scary Halloween.
Me, not so scary Halloween. I did watch a horror movie off of Netflix recently that I wanted to talk about.
Oh, and I watched one too, but I was on Amazon Prime.
I watched the movie called Raw
Raw.
that you can find on your Netflix.
You know, you texted me that.
I did. I told you to watch it, but I know you weren't going to because it has
But
subtitles.
no, I might have, but I know why I didn't. It's
Why
because
didn't you?
I thought it was a wrestling movie, like Raw.
Oh, Raw,
I'm like,
WWE
what the fuck do I want to
Raw.
watch wrestling? I fucking hate that.
You need to watch Monday Night Raw.
And I
No,
knew, well, I knew you were into like wrestling stuff, so I was either this is a wrestling movie or a wrestling documentary.
I do love wrestling documentaries.
Yeah.
No, this is a horror movie. The
Well, that's a.
fascinating concept.
This is great because I'm looking for a horror. I'm gonna try to watch two horror movies a week until Halloween.
Well, there you go. I won't
So,
go too into it to spoil
no, you
it.
can go into it. Just don't go into like the.
I'll give you the premise.
Yeah,
I'll
give me
tell
the
you.
premise, but don't give me like what makes it unique, because that'll kind of maybe ruin it.
Yeah. So it's about a girl who starts college. So it's a girl going off to college for the first time, and she's going to the same college her sister went to. And it's a veterinary school. So when she first gets there, they do like it's not an orientation. What is it called when they do? Like a hazing of the new students where they go to the dorm, like the first, I don't know if it was the first night or second night there, and they take all the freshmen's mattresses and throw them out the window. And then they blindfold all the freshmen and take them to this room where there's like a rave. So they and then they're doing this rave and doing shots and drinking and doing drugs and stuff.
Yeah.
And then they tell them that there's going to be a week of hazing. So every day there's like a different challenge or whatever they have to do. And one of the challenges is to eat. They have to eat like I can't remember what they were eating. It was something gross, like heart, like some kind of animal hearts or something like that.
Yeah.
And the one girl doesn't want to do it. And then eventually it, yeah. 'Cause the girl's a vegetarian, so she's never eaten meat before, so she
Oh,
doesn't
so
want to eat this
this movie
meat.
is like scary for you.
And it was very
You're
frightening.
like, oh my God, they're gonna
A
make
horror
me eat
movie
meat.
about a vegetarian being forced to eat meat.
This is like Mike and Daryl holding me back at the con and making me eat some meat.
And then it gets crazy from there. It's really good. I highly recommend it.
What language is it in?
I don't remember. I'm gonna say French. It might be a French, it might be French Canadian. But I don't remember.
Is it sexy?
Yeah. I'm
Yeah.
trying to remember if there's sexy times. I think there was. Remember, I know that she falls for this dude. There's some nice gross stuff though. It's good. And there's some smart, it's like a smart
No, but
horror.
it is this like Antichrist, like
No.
where I'm
No.
bored and then I'm excited for 10 minutes.
Nope.
Okay.
No, it's good 'cause at first it's like stressful 'cause all the hazing stuff is very
You should
stressful.
have if you should have said like this is a horror movie because I would have jumped on
Oh,
that.
I should have said you should watch the
No,
horror
because
movie.
the weird thing is I was struggling to find
Oh, looking
something
for a
last
horror movie.
night. Yeah, 'cause I've either seen it and I didn't want to watch something I've seen. So I was like looking for things I hadn't seen. And then I was looking at the ratings and I couldn't find anything. I think there's a series coming out like the Haunted House something or another on Netflix that they recommended to me, but it doesn't start until next week, so I was like, "Oh shit." But I was gonna watch that last night with Barb, and instead I went to Amazon Prime and I chose this movie called Illusions because it had 4.5 stars, and it was from 1992, and it starred superstar actor Robert Carradine, who's known for Revenge of the Nerds, and it had Heather Locklear. And I can't remember the other woman, but she was in Dynasty. And this has the worst sex scenes I've ever seen in a movie. Because it's like so anti-erotic. It's like they're awful. They're just
Was
like
this movie
these
called?
illusions.
Oh,
It's either illusions or illusion.
sounds like a total B movie.
It was one of those movies that I think they put
The
together
video.
on a low budget and said we can make this in a weekend because they don't give a fuck. But the premise is pretty cool. Like I dug what they were trying to do with it. The acting is pretty bad, but the story's so good that it keeps you like wanting to see what happens. But this woman, Heather Locklear, is married to this archaeologist dude. And she's kind of like in a hospital trying to heal from a nervous breakdown, and they allow her to leave the hospital, and she leaves. She keeps having weird dreams of having sex with Robert Carradine, like heated sex, and the mom is like in the next room.
With Heather Locklear?
Yeah.
How's that not sexy?
Because those aren't her tits. They're obviously a stand-in. And
Body double.
that's not Robert Carradine's body either. That's a body double that's going in there. Obvious. You could obviously see it. He's not that muscular, and her breasts aren't like that
So
big.
all of a sudden she has giant breasts and he's like has a six pack.
No, but it is bad sex. It is like awful. It's like so slow that it wants to put you to sleep. Like it's not erotic at all. But they had sex with the mom in the next room, and the mom just keeps hammering on meat. You would love it. She just like has this cleaver, and she's got this pile of meat, and she's cutting into this meat.
She's beating her meat.
And the sister's like in Dynasty, and she's sitting there, and she's like plucking a chicken, and she looks hot. I mean, not many chicks could look sexy plucking a chicken, but she did. And she keeps having these weird dreams, and they give her all these pills, and they said, okay, you can leave. And the her father's rich. So Heather Locklear's father's rich. He's got a lot of money, and he's helping pay for this excavation where Robert Carradine is digging for some kind of bones out there, like Native American bones to put into a museum. And he takes her off to this house, and Ned Beatty's in it. You know, what's his name? Luther from Superman. You know, he's Gene Hackman's evil sidekick. So Ned Beatty's in it, and he owns this, like, house that they're renting. Really nice house. He's telling her ghost stories and all this shit. And she starts to see visions and stuff, and then Robert Carradine says, my sister's coming. And this is where it gets really weird, because the sister arrives, and like Ned Beatty will walk in, and the sister's like making out with her brother, and it's like there's some weird incest shit going on here. And Heather Locklear's suspecting things, like there's very some strange stuff going on between the sister and the brother. And it never gets down to like what they're really trying to do. I think they're trying to blackmail, like to make her go back to the hospital so they can still continue their work and have the father fund them. But I'm not sure, because it never really explains it. But anyway, Ned Beatty gives her a gun to protect herself, a shotgun, double barrel shotgun. He loads it. But when she starts seeing these weird visions and nobody believes her, she reloads the shotgun. Well, it turns out Ned Beatty's in on this, and they're trying to all make her look crazy. But she accidentally kills the sister because she reloaded the gun. Instead of put the blanks in, she put in real bullets, and she killed the sister. So then Robert Carradine tried to hide it and bury his sister. And then him and Ned Beatty were in on it, and they were going to put her back in the hospital. But she caught on to all this, and everybody ended up dying except for her. She got away. So it was a pretty crazy story. And I think what it was is the brother and sister were in this weird relationship, and they wanted to milk the father for money. And they were trying to keep the Heather Locklear on prescription drugs and fucked up all the time.
Yeah.
And making sure she was seeing illusions. But she stopped taking her pills because they were giving her a lot of pills to make her see illusions. And she started, like, holding them in the back of her throat and then spitting them out later on. So she wasn't hallucinating anymore. It was interesting. It kept me up, so I enjoyed it. It was really bad acted. It was put together, I think, on a shoestring budget. But it had well-known people in it, you know, like Ned Beatty, Heather Locklear.
Well-known C-list people.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't say Heather Locklear was a C-list. Maybe in movies, she was more of a TV.
I guess I don't know what year did the movie come out?
92? I think 92 is after Revenge of the Nerds for sure.
Yeah, I think that was at her height, she was, when she was on like...
In the 80s, right? 87 maybe, 88? She was in the Fall Guy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, when people used to have her poster on the wall.
Uh-huh.
She was in all the magazines.
So, overall, I liked it. I wasn't disappointed. I just didn't... They never got to, like... the Scooby-Doo moment where we're doing this because of this. And Ned Beatty was shady too because he killed his son because they found his bones. So I don't know what that was about. But it was interesting. And probably cheap to make because they only had two places to film at. One was this ranch house, and the other one was the hospital where they went to go pick her up from. That's only two scenes. That's got to be cheap for props and all that stuff. Yeah.
No, that definitely affects the budget a lot. The number of scene locations.
Yeah. And the other film I saw that wasn't Halloween related was Venom.
Ah.
Yeah, that was fun. I liked it.
Yeah, I want to see that.
I liked it because of this. It didn't take itself too seriously, and it had like this really 90 comics vibe that I kind of dug.
Okay.
It was non-contemporary. It felt like it was in the 90s when you had like Midnight Suns and Venom and, you know, all these books that were coming out like that were dark. And it had that vibe. It seemed to have, at least where I was, it was sold out. And there was like, I haven't seen the movie theater like that packed in the popcorn lines that packed in a long time. And then the other thing I noticed is that it had a lot of cheers. Like people really
were
excited about it and into it. Really low Rotten Tomatoes scores, but higher on the people side, low on the critic side. And the other thing that was really noticeable is it potentially had the two best after scene credits that I've ever seen in these after scene credits. Justice League was pretty badass. This one was also badass. One of them had a real surprise in it. Like, I didn't see this coming out of nowhere, and I was shocked at who was in it. Mm. And the other one was at the very end. It had nothing to do with the movie, but something that's coming out later, and it was awesome.
Okay.
So,
my favorite one was the one at the end of Ant-Man and Wasp.
That was up there.
That was my favorite one.
That was my favorite Marvel one. I loved the Justice League one where they had the race of Superman and the Flash, and then they have kind of like the Legion of Doom, like where Deathstroke comes aboard Luthor's ship, and they're like, "Oh, we got to form an Injustice League." I was like, "This is badass." And this one was up there, though. This one surprised me, and you can't give this one away because it has something I didn't see coming.
Oh, cool.
But I hope there's a sequel because of that. I heard there's a trilogy, but I don't know how you can make a trilogy if the first one flops. But I don't think it's flopping based on what indicators are saying right now.
Well, based on how it did at your theater.
Well, the thing is I think it's at the right time. Like, there's nothing out right now.
Yeah, it is a good time.
And this is, like, perfect. I don't know why theater... Like, why the fuck does DC have to put Aquaman out at Christmas? You know what it has to compete against? It has to compete against Bumblebee, Spider-Man, and Star Wars. Like, why would you want to do that? Why not, why not come out in a week like this when there's nothing?
Yeah.
You know? There's nothing. That's a blockbuster anyway. There's always a good movie. I'm just talking about there's nothing that's like super duper blockbuster.
Right, there's no big movies.
So
I
think Venom is going to make a boatload just based on what I'm seeing. And just to see like the age group of kids that really dug it, like the kids that were sitting next to me were like, they ranged from ages 7 to 15, you know?
What's it rated?
PG-13, I think.
Oh, is it PG-13?
Yeah.
How was it for kids? Is it, like, can I take my son to it?
It has violence, but it's not like camera violent. Like, it's implied violence. Like, Venom will eat somebody, right?
Yeah.
But you don't see like
Yeah,
the organs all
the
over the
head being
place
ripped
and the
off.
head being ripped
Yeah.
off, no. So, it is darker though. I'm not sure. I'm not sure you would dig it. Like, I don't know how your kid would feel about it. I'd be really curious. But
He doesn't like scary stuff, so if it's like suspenseful and
it's not
he
scary.
wouldn't like it.
It has more of a. It's scary because of the presence of Venom. Like, you have like a. The Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde type thing. You know what I mean?
Sure.
But it has almost like a satire to it because the symbiote is it has a voice. It's very humorous actually.
Okay.
So I would I thought it was good. I thought it was a good movie. They didn't have to it stood alone on its own and wasn't the best, but it was a good, fun Saturday morning
Entertaining,
mo
yeah.
entertaining movie.
Cool. Yeah, I'll definitely see it at some point to see if I see it in the theater or just wait for it.
Yep.
I
What
watched a
else you got?
couple others. I finally watched one of your favorite movies, Wind River.
Oh God, I love that movie.
Yeah, that was great. It was great because they did such a good job of capturing the environment. Like you really felt you were there in that
Yes,
desolate
in
town.
this world,
Yeah.
you know what it reminded me of? And I don't know if you've seen this movie, but it had a feeling to me of like Thunderheart with Val Kilmer.
Okay.
It felt like that mood, like, and then you kind of feel sympathetic towards the Native Americans and you know their situation, like Smoke Signals, that was another excellent movie. And this one captured that, and plus, it had one. There's one scene that I want to talk to you about offline, but I just will say, it was probably the. I don't know. It hits you in the gut if you don't know what's happening. Like it's just. Fuck! It's just like holy crap! That just went to hell.
Yeah, there are a few of those. Yeah,
Holy
but
shit!
certainly the climax scene in this was like, yeah, I was like, whoa, what just
Was
happened?
wasn't it one of the best though?
Yeah,
Like the
it was
tension
amazing.
and stuff, it's like a punch in the gut, man. It's like God damn.
Yeah, especially because they led up to it with such drama,
Yeah.
like intense drama scenes that was the culmination was just like, holy shit.
Holy shit, that just and the way it's filmed is amazing
Yeah, it was
because it's like a
beautiful.
sequence, it's a beautiful sequence of events. It's
It
awesome.
was spectacular.
Love that movie.
Yeah,
That
I
was
can see
my favorite.
why
So
you liked
that was
it.
my favorite movie of last year, and then this year was Searching. I was blown away by that movie. Cause I Searching is not a horror movie, but it has every element of a horror movie that a parent could possibly have for their daughter or son.
Yeah.
It was phenomenal. It was up there. I'm so glad Barb made me go see that. Wind River was a mistake too. I didn't even see it with Barb. I saw that one twice at the theater. I was in Albuquerque with Wind River, and there was nothing out. There was nothing out that week. And my parents really love to go to movies. My parents go to movies every week. And they're like, "Can you pick something?" And I said, "Well, how about Wind River?" And I saw it and I was fucking blown away that when I came home, I'm like, "Barb, we got to go see Wind River next weekend. Go see it again because you're gonna bl it'll blow your mind."
That'd probably be a good one to see twice because there's probably a lot of stuff.
Yes.
Like you could enjoy it seeing it a second time, even knowing
Yeah.
what's going to happen.
Yeah, I saw it on the big screen twice and it was so worth it. Like yeah, this is good. I'm glad you liked it. I'm glad it wasn't like, oh, Mike hyped it and he didn't
I don't
like
know
it.
why I didn't see it earlier. I mean, it's got two fantastic actors in it.
Yeah.
And I love Elizabeth Olsen.
She is absolutely beautiful. I at least I think so.
Course she is.
Oh my God. She's definitely in my top five women right now on in Hollywood. She's pretty sexy as hell.
Yeah, she's amazing. And she's so good. So I saw that, and I also, what was the other thing I saw?
And
Now
she,
I don't
let me
remember.
just say one more thing about her. In this movie, there's like really, she's covered in like cold, because it's cold weather out there. And she's absolutely beautiful. She doesn't have to be like in skin tight clothes. She's
She's
just
beautiful
she's
even in
just
a
yeah, in one of those
giant coat.
giant Eskimo coats. So what else did you see?
It's a bunch of stuff.
I've been in the movie mood lately. Like it's I'm having this weird phase where I'd rather watch something than read. And it's that's that is so unusual for me, Bill. I don't know what it is.
Eh, it happens. You just feel you're in that mood for some reason.
Well,
What do I
luckily
watch?
the elliptical has like has got me to watch The Gifted and Cloak and Dagger. Like I watched the whole seasons, like just plowed through them.
Yeah, I need to do that.
The
I'm
Gifted
watching
started again, by the way.
the what?
The Gifted, it started already.
Yeah, I saw that it
Yeah.
has started. I haven't watched the new season yet. I don't think I've watched any new shows yet. Well, that's not a new show.
Do you watch The Good Doctor?
I do watch The Good Doctor.
Did you see the season opening?
No,
Oh my God!
I have not. Because I need to.
I need to talk to you about that because, oh fuck! Something happened that changed my opinion of the show. I just,
Really?
oh man, I just. It changed the tempo for me. It really did.
Interesting. You have to see. So taking it a new direction this year?
Well, I don't know, and I don't want to say anything because
Oh,
it's an
spoil
emo
it.
it to me it's an emotional ringer, that first one. It really hits at the heartstrings, and it change be I think because of what happens, it changes the tone, like for me personally, dramatically. Like I don't know, it we'll see what next. I've already watched both of them. Like, I'm watching that one almost live. Like it comes out on a Monday night and I watch it like Tuesday or Wednesday, so
Okay. You're on top of that one.
I'm on top of that one, and I'm usually on top of Bull because I dig that one,
Okay.
and I have to f find out what happened at the end of last season. Because it ended on a cliffhanger, which is weird for that show.
Because it's usually one and dones.
Yeah, it's kind of a courtroom type drama, and sometimes the courtroom drama will lead to two episodes, but they're kind of done in one. Do you watch that?
No.
Well, he had a heart attack last season at the end of the episode. So you didn't know how he would come back.
I bet you he lives.
Yeah, well, there's a second season. But there's something that dramatically happens in that episode that changes the course of that.
Ah, changes the course of the
Yeah,
series.
yeah. So, oh my gosh, when you watch that episode, the first episode, I just have to talk to you about it. The because I'm kind
Have
of
to go watch
floored.
it.
Does Melanie watch that
Yeah,
with
she
you?
watches
Yeah.
it. Yeah.
You need to watch it this weekend, this week.
Yeah, maybe we'll watch it. I might be able to watch it maybe tonight.
You don't even watch the second one, just watch the first one.
Well, I'm guessing that if we watch the first one, we're going to want to watch the second one. We'll see. We'll
We'll
see.
see.
I've been watching a show on Netflix called Maniac.
Is that a TV show?
It's a Netflix original series. I think it's like 10 episodes. It's the one with Jonah Hill and what's her name? Dang it. Is it Emma Stone?
Oh, I've seen the I get emails from Netflix and they kind of say, I think you would like
announced
this.
Announced it, yeah.
Yeah, they kind of I see the covers to I actually read those emails because I like to see if there's
what's
a new
available.
Show. Well, if there's a new show, like there's that's how I found out about that House of Haunted something or another TV show that I want to watch.
Yeah. Yeah, this one it's a strange show. So it's about Jonah Hill, who's now a slimmer Jonah Hill, because he lost like a bunch of weight. His family is rich, but he's kind of like the odd man out. So he's like the younger brother. His older brothers are the ones like who are going to have illustrious careers, and he's kind of the screw up of the family. But he's being asked to provide an alibi for his brother because his brother did something. I don't remember if they say what it is or not. Really, something bad, and he's going to go off to jail if he doesn't have an alibi. So they want Jonah to supply the alibi for him. And Jonah's kind of directionless. And then Emma Stone plays this woman who she's also kind of directionless. And she's addicted to these pills that she got from, I can't remember where she got them from, this kid or something, or a friend. And she runs out of these pills. And the Jonah Hill character is on drugs because he suffers from delusions. Like he thinks that there's a plot in the world, and he gets like, he sees his brother, who's not really there, but his brother gives him like secret messages that he's supposed to do in the world, like missions and things. And he sees the connectedness of the world. And one of the things he needs to do is find this woman who he sees in these advertisements, he thinks that she's like talking to him in these ads.
Yeah.
The setting of this story is really interesting because it takes place. It's almost the future as they would envision in the 70s. Like when this in the 70s, how they envision the future. That's what it kind of looks like. So the computers are like really big, and like the computers look like they're out of like a 70s show about the future. So it's a kind of but. At the same time, it's almost in the present. So it's kind of like a weird, because they have technology even above what we have today. So it's really weird, like the design of it. But
sounds like Gotham, where they're trying to like limit the technology. Like Gotham has flip phones. They don't have like smartphones. And their cars look
like
a little.
Intentionally.
Yeah, their cars are a little bit non-modern.
Yeah.
Intentionally.
Yeah.
But
so
they don't
it's almost
look like it.
Right. So it's like the present day, but not our like in a different reality almost.
Yeah. If something didn't happen, it might look like this.
Yeah. If something was happened differently in our history, we would have ended up at that point. Yeah. So it's kind of like that. But all the computers and stuff look very 70s. But they have like the ads and stuff, like the billboards and stuff are all digital and stuff. So they have like a technology. And then I think it was that one. Oh, yeah, she wanted to ride. She wanted the Emma Stone character wanted to get on the subway, but she didn't have enough money. So there's a thing called Ad Buddy. So the question came up on the screen, do you want to use Ad Buddy? So she said yes. And then the whole train ride, someone sat next to her with like a tablet and they were reading like the ads off the tablet to her. So that's the ad buddy. Like you get a constant stream of ads from a live person. Anyway, so what happens is they both sign up for this drug program Because he, I think, follows her into the drug program. I can't remember how he gets in the study, but he gets in the study, and then she kind of cheats her way into the study because she gets into it because she wants the pills. Like, the pills that she was addicted to are actually from this study they're doing. So she wants to get into the study so she can get the pills again. And then at some point, and then the pills, the intent of the study is to come up with pills that will cure you of your whatever's wrong with you psychologically. So rather than go through therapy and try and fix your problems, you just take pills and it'll automatically cure your problem. So there's three different pills, and each of the pills make you relive part of the trauma that's causing you psychological problems in life. So the first one makes you relive it. The second one brings you like into like a fantasy world. Actually, the first and third one bring you into like a fantasy world where you kind of deal with your issues in this fantasy world. But it makes it interesting in the story, like in the series. Some of the episodes are just the characters in this fantasy world dealing with, like, one they're trying to rescue these ferrets from the mob, and then in another one they're like in this weird like 60s seance party, and then in another one they're like,
that sounds interesting,
in a fantasy world. So
I like that element of it.
Yeah, it's really good. There's a lot of stuff going on, but it's really entertaining and compelling. So I like it. I'm enjoying it. And it's 10 episodes, I think, so of varying lengths. So I recommend that one. I'm enjoying it.
Cool. Any other ones?
I don't think so.
Let's get back to a Nick Wetmore question.
Yes, next question. That was a good question, that last one, whatever it was.
The Cloak and Dagger one? Well, the Halloween one, we kind of like just went into our movies. What do you think of the Halloween reboot? Do you care?
That's fine.
I'm going to go see it. I guess the one thing I'm disappointed is that Halloween 2 was one of my favorites. So the fact that they're saying that Halloween 2 is not in continuity with the first one kind of bothers me, because to me, they went hand in hand. They were the night of Halloween, and then it's continued at the hospital in Halloween 2. I like that.
Right.
And
yeah.
Then
that was a good gimmick.
I don't like that they're getting rid of that one, because Halloween 2 is one of my favorites. But other than that, I don't care. I'll watch it, but I'm not the biggest like Freddy Krueger, Michael Myers, Jason Voorhees, because
slasher.
The slasher. I used to love slasher films in the 80s, but I think they've worn their welcome to me and have become more I prefer more of the horrors where you can't see the twists and turns now.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Psychological horrors, like stuff, things that are a little deeper than.
Yeah. If it's just a dude going around killing people, then
I've lost
at some point
interest.
It's like, okay,
yeah,
I've seen that a million times.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong. When that stuff hit, I loved it. Texas Chainsaw
Massacre. I remember the
first
Friday the 13th.
Oh,
man.
My God. And the fact that it wasn't really Jason Voorhees in the first one. That was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
It was the mother. That was so good. And then you had Texas Chainsaw and Friday Freddy Krueger, Nightmare on Elm Street. You know, all of that stuff. Like, I started to really like the Thrasher films, but over the course of many, 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 many years, I've gone away from that. And there's been like some takes off of slashers that have been unique because they're like tributes to it, like Hatchet and stuff like that have become pretty mm-hmm. cool to watch because they're playing off of it, but they make it unique in their own way.
Right.
And, yeah, so I'm going to go see it, but I'm not, like, Like, I have cousins and friends that are like, oh my god, this Halloween preview is so good. And maybe I get bitter because my name is the same. And then people, everywhere I go, people are going to go
That's
shit
right.
face again.
Yep,
and,
you're gonna. It's coming back. It's
well,
coming
it's
back.
Already there. It's always there. It's just going to come back in tenfold for about 5 months until it dies out. And then the video comes out, and then another 5 months. And
so Mike Myers, you don't kill me.
I do like the theme for Halloween. I think it's...
Of course. Classic.
It's an awesome theme. So the next one was... while growing up, what trading cards did you collect? Did you get trading cards?
Yes. I think the first ones I started to get were hockey ones. Because I lived in Canada. So we were in the... I don't remember what grade that was. Maybe like fifth grade or something. We were big into hockey cards.
Were you also into hockey, though, or just the cards itself? Did you like the players behind it? Did you know them?
I knew them because of the cards. No, I did watch... I watched some Maple Leafs games.
Yeah?
But I was never, like, obsessed with it or anything.
Yeah. You
Going
like when
the
they
cards.
Kick the ball on the ice?
I like it when they when the Zamboni comes and cleans up the ice.
You like when the pitcher throws the ball on the ice?
I like it when they do like a triple Lutz or something. And then shoot it in the net. Love it. So artistic. Like, hockey is so artistic. That's why I like it.
I don't think I would have guessed hockey card. Like, I would have never. I mean, I get the Canadian link, but you must have been severely peer pressured into that hobby.
I mean, I liked it for some reason. I don't know. And then we had a
what
minor
made
league.
You like it if you didn't watch it? Like, was it
I did
was it the statistics or was it?
I don't know. I must have been watching it more than I remember back then.
Well, that's interesting. It still fascinates me.
And then, yeah, I don't know why I like the cards. Just the collecting, I guess.
Yeah.
We got the collector bug for sure, obviously. And then there were some cards from like a local minor, like the local minor league team.
Yeah, like baseball.
Yeah, they were like, no, hockey.
Oh, hockey.
Hockey. And then, because I don't remember where it was, but they were like, somewhere they were making an appearance, and then you get the, like, they were, had their cards, and they were, like, signing them.
And you could sign them. You can get the
yes,
card
Yes, we
and
got
sign
the
them.
Signed cards from the team. That was exciting. And then my next, I don't think I ever really collected hockey cards. But my next one was WWF cards, wrestling cards.
Oh, really? This is interesting.
That was really big. That was
well, this
really
is
big.
This is something though that you really kept with. I mean, you don't watch wrestling now.
I don't watch wrestling,
but you still watch a lot of like wrestling documentaries.
I love the wrestling business. I love
about,
it.
About like wrestlers that we grew up with, right? I mean,
yes.
Yeah.
I love the business of wrestling.
I was really into wrestling until Barb won us tickets, and then my dreams were shattered.
The illusion was shattered?
No, because I believed it was real the
yeah.
whole time. And then when me and Barb were sitting where we saw, and it was Hulk Hogan, and we were like, God dang, they're not even touching each other. And I was like,
that punch didn't even hit him, and he fell
yeah,
down.
Like, he got hit with the chair, and the chair wasn't even close, Bill. I was like... Oh my God, this is so fake. And then my whole dreams were crushed, and I was like, I stopped watching from that point.
Wow.
Because I used to watch that, you know, with Hulk Hogan, Undertaker, all the big characters, and then I'd watch this one Wrestling Federation with like characters like the Von Erichs that would have the
Yeah,
Iron
the
Fist and shit like
NWA,
that.
right? Is that what it
Yeah,
was? Or the
I used to love the Von Erichs, man. They used to have
Oh yeah,
that
they're
claw.
awesome.
They'd have that claw where the claw they would just grab it and then they'd put the guy to sleep and shit like that. I make him
Love
pass out.
them, and then the Four Horsemen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we were me and Barb were big into like that league, like the Von Erichs and stuff, because they used to play it like on UP, whatever it was at the time, Fox or whatever UHF station
Yeah,
there
it was
was.
whatever the UHF station was.
Yeah, we used to watch wrestling religiously, and then man, we were so excited to go see Hulk Hogan, and man, did it really. I guess it didn't shatter me, like, because it wasn't like real, but how unreal it was. That's what devastated me.
Right, so you thought there was at least some amount of violence
Storytelling
going
and
on.
yeah, some kind of contact where they were good
Sure, yeah,
stuntmen.
the punch was at least hitting, just not like a super hard.
Yeah.
That's true. I don't remember when I first realized that wrestling wasn't real. That I don't remember. But yeah, I used to be into it. Yeah, back in the 80s, we were really into it. And yeah, so we used to collect the trading cards and we used to trade them on the bus
Right.
to trade our wrestlers. I don't know if I still have some of those cards. I don't think I do. What about you? What were your, you must have been into the baseball cards.
For me it was but not for a long time. We're talking elementary school.
Yeah, this was all elementary school.
Elementary school and maybe early junior high, it was football and baseball.
Okay.
And I was more into the football cards, and I was trying to get p players, you know, certain players. For me, it was like the two big teams that I would get were the Steelers and the Cowboys back then, like the Roger Staubach and Tony Dorsett and stuff like that. In the baseball, I was kind of like you, where I wouldn't watch it, but I would like to get the cards. Like, I wasn't big into watching it, whereas football, I would watch with my family on Sundays, but. Baseball, I never really watched unless it was the minor league team, you know, the Albuquerque Dukes. But I like to collect the cards, but I knew nothing about the statistics or anything, and I played it. So I tend to like things that I played. So I played flag football in elementary school, and I played baseball. I played little league. So I tend to like the things that I actually knew how to play and what they meant and all the positions were. And then I think in high school I got into like movie cards. Well, maybe it was even later than that, 'cause this Batman, what year did Batman come out? 89? So it was even later than that. During Batman 89, I started getting the Batman cards, so we'd have the film cards, so I had all the Batman cards. I started to get the Superman cards, the Star Wars cards.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about Star Wars
Yeah,
cards.
those came out in the Topps Star Wars cards, and
I used to get those when I was a kid, too. I was big into the Star Wars cards.
I had Battlestar Galactica cards.
Oh, yeah, I had some of those.
I had
I
some of those. I had some
had
$6
some of
million dollar
those.
man cards,
I
you
don't think I had
know.
any of those.
I had some Marvel cards, really old ones, but they were more sticker based. Like you'd buy like a couple cards and they'd come with two stickers, and then the
Yeah, I
stickers would
remember
end up on my
those.
door.
Yeah, I
So
remember
my door
those.
was covered with the stickers. And
Yeah, I remember
then
those
in the
Marvel ones.
college years, surprisingly, I got into cards like hardcore because of God, what is his name? Oh man, I can't think of his the artist's name now. It's blanking on me. He's coming with an IDW collection now. Joe Jusco, the Joe
Oh, the
Jusco Marvel
Jusco.
cards. I would
Yeah.
buy them by the box,
Oh my goodness.
and then me and Barb, well, Barb would sit with me, and we would go through all the cards and then organize them and then put them into a binder inside of the Leafs and stuff. I still have all of those. And then we would do it like I have a bunch of Marvel cards. I have the Valiant cards. I have some DC cards. And I still own all of them. They're all in binders upstairs.
Man, it's a miracle Barb stayed with you all these years. That's what all college kids are doing, sitting there going through their Joe Juice go cards and organizing them.
Barb used to like to go through the cards. She knew I was buying a whole box, and then we'd shoot for, like, you know, organizing them. And, you know, they have the 1 and the 100 cards or whatever. We try to get the foil cards. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I would not get all of them, and I'd have to chase them. So I'd actually go buy some of the chase cards individually.
Mm-hmm.
But got the most of them just by buying a box. And then I ended up with lots of dupes, of course.
Yeah. I never bought, I don't think I bought any boxes of comics or of cards. I think I just bought packs. I don't remember buying.
The Jusco ones were by far, shoof, they're beautiful. Holy moly.
Yeah, I never got the Jusco ones.
But I had a lot of movie related cards. I don't know if I have them all. I have them, everything from like 89 forward I have, but some of the cards that I had before were traded. Like I used to have like Charlie's Angels cards. I'd have $6 Million Man cards.
Well, back then, yeah, they had cards for every
Battlestar
show,
Galactica, Buck Rogers, I think I had a few cards of those. So, but I never bought a box to complete the set. I just would buy a pack here and there whenever I had a.
I think there was. I think I remember buying some Dukes of Hazzard cards at one point.
I think I had a couple of those, but there was a thing called trading cards too. So you'd like trade them to get what you want. Like we.
That's what we used to do with the wrestling cards on the bus. So like every day on the way to school, it would be a crazy auction of trading cards. Well, I'll trade you two of this one for one of those, and this guy I'll trade you that for that.
Ours were funny too though, because we'd mix all the cards together. So like I'll give you one Roger Staubach for two Charlie's Angels and one Battlestar Galactica.
Okay.
mix the genres. It was crazy. So when I stored my cards, and I'm pretty sure I have them like in, I don't have those ones in like binders or anything, but I think I have a rubber band around them the way we used to store them back then. And I have some really old cards.
In a shoebox.
Yeah, in a shoebox. That was,
yeah, I don't
that
think
was
I have my old
question.
Cards. I wonder what happened to them.
I'll take a
it's
picture
possible.
Of my.
It's possible I do in a box
some of
somewhere.
My old cards. Yeah, that was his. That was our last question, but that was. I really liked that one. And I like the Cloak and Dagger one, too, because I never thought about it. Like, oh, my
the
God.
The practicality of it, yeah.
Yeah, Barb, you'd love if I was Cloak, because I could just store all my comics inside my body, and then you'd have a house that was absolutely... Like, and not only that, but I could just keep getting more. Like, I have infinite space in my body, plus I could teleport us. Like, if you wanted to see Joe Magdalero, whatever his name is, I could have just said, you're there, and you're there with Alan, and you're hugging
say,
Joe
Say, hop in
Magdalero.
My jacket.
Yeah, I just say, hop in my cloak. Boom. We're there. Cloak.
You need to work on this.
Yeah. I'm going to somehow have to get radiated by... Yeah, he's making less.
So
Trump is taking away all the regulations, so I'll be polluted. So that's true.
Gonna allow more radiation.
Yeah, I'll be Cloak.
So you're close.
A lot of oil refineries will explode in the middle of the ocean, causing all these accidents that will cause me to become Cloak.
There you go.
Yeah.
We will soon be having a proliferation of mutant superheroes. I think that's his goal.
Yeah. Any food? Did you eat anything interesting? Everybody's always dying to hear what you eat, especially Daryl. Daryl gets excited about your...
gets excited by the...
Yeah.
I don't know if I have any...
He says you just eat beans. That's all. That's like, I'm going to put some beans and I'm going to put it in the crock pot. Add some spices. That's actually what we're doing right now. There's beans in the crock pot.
Delicious.
With Chicos.
With Chicos.
I haven't had any beans lately. Let me think.
Bill would like the Chicos.
What are the Chicos?
I like Chicas. I don't like Chicos. I like my Chicas with my little baby dolls.
Well, you're having Chicos
my
tonight.
Chicas with baby dolls when they're wearing those little black baby dolls.
Chicos is corn that's been dried.
Orale! What was that movie? Sorry.
I'm telling what Chicos are.
Okay, sorry, but tell me what the Orale was. I forgot to mention that. Yeah, what was the Orale movie? That was awesome.
That was Peppermint.
Oh, shit, I forgot to talk about that. Okay, tell us what the Chicos are.
Chicos, it's corn that's been dried and then smoked with hickory wood.
Chicos is corn that's been dried and smoked with hickory wood.
Interesting.
You put them with the beans?
Yeah, you soak them with the beans overnight and then you cook them at the same time. Yeah.
So is a chicas smoked with something else?
Yes, can you smell? You can smell like the hickory while they're cooking.
I don't. I smell the beans because beans smell pretty strange to me.
No, you can smell the Chicos.
I don't smell Chicos.
The hickory.
I'm sorry.
Bill would like them.
Bill would like them, she said.
If I was Cloak, I would come there right now and have some.
He said if he was Cloak, he would come and have some. So what have you been eating that would get like Daryl to salivate?
Daryl upset.
Daryl to salivate and say, "God, I wish I was Bill. Wish I could eat some of that."
I can't think of anything exciting that I've made recently.
I don't think you've ever Doesn't made anything break, exciting so. Since we've been.
Think
recording.
About plenty of it. I mean, plenty of exciting things.
You always eat the same thing. I had some beans. That's what I have. Pickled pizza?
Yeah.
We didn't have it.
I saw Barb posted pickled pizza. That looks really good.
I'd eat that.
I want to try it. I want to make it. If I was Cloak, I would be eating it right now. Dill pickled pizza.
You'd be in your cloak eating pizza.
I'd store it in my cloak. But I don't eat if I'm Cloak. Oh, no.
When you're around Daryl, you could, like, cloak all the meat around him, so he'd have to eat stuff, like, non-meat.
I'm sorry, our meat has disappeared.
And there's a bunch of Facebook people getting hacked, because I keep getting this. I got one from Jill now. Holy moly. Are they falling for that or what? They want him to hold down the control key or whatever.
If you hold it down for 10 seconds.
Yeah, don't do what they tell you to do. I mean, come on.
Here are the steps. If you do these exact steps, you will uncover the secret of getting hacked.
That's right. Oh, what we saw is Peppermint. That was awesome. This was
what is that?
Jennifer Gardner. It's at the theater. At least it was. It was a Jennifer Gardner vengeance movie. It's kind of like Punisher with Jennifer Gardner. It was really cool. I love the villain. He says, "Orale!" every time he gets shook up. I just dig it. Peppermint.
So you recommend the peppermint?
I liked it more than Venom. What would you say, Barb? Peppermint or Venom? Which one did you like more?
Oh, they had different aspects.
I know, but about the same?
Because Venom had some humor.
Yeah.
Some humor in Peppermint, it was just...
Yeah, she said...
But there was a lot more action in Peppermint.
Yeah, Peppermint had more better fight scenes, I think. Mm. Because they're more like non-CGI fight scenes that are badass. I'd go with Peppermint. Barb says she liked the humor more in Venom.
Oh, the humor, yeah.
Well, there's no humor. There's a good balance in Venom, would you say?
Yeah.
Between action and comedy. I like Peppermint because it's one of those vengeance stories. I Kill Bill or any of those vengeance stories, but more so in the vein of what if it's like what if Frank Castle was a female. That's what Peppermint is, in my opinion. I liked it a lot. I thought it was a
Good vengeance movie.
good vengeance movie, yeah. Like Death Wish. That was a good movie too. I don't know if you saw that Bruce Willis remake of Death Wish.
I never did.
Pretty decent.
I never saw that one.
Well, it's almost time for your lunch. Are you gonna, what are you gonna eat that's fantastic today?
For lunch, I think I'll just, I have some mushrooms. I think I'll just fry up some mushrooms with some onions and some garlic and some peppers.
And are you gonna put some, what are you gonna eat with it? That's just like a side.
And then I'll throw it in, put it in a bun, a toasted bun with some cheese. Melt that
What
up.
what's the main course? That's still just like toppings
That's the
to it.
main course.
No, you need some meat or fish
Mushroom. I
patty or
said mu
something in it.
mushrooms. Those mushrooms.
Big portobello mushroom?
They're small portobello,
Do you pick these things out of your
regular
backyard?
mushrooms.
These mushrooms?
Yeah, I pick them off the around the base of the tree.
Ah. Nice.
Think I'll have that, put some maybe some A1 sauce on
Okay,
it.
with some steak. I had a good steak yesterday.
Sounds delicious.
I ate breakfast this morning and I'm getting hungry just talking about food.
Well, you should.
All right, well, I think we could wrap this one up. Where can they reach us, Bill?
They can reach us at the web on the internet on Spotify. Just do a search for Geek Brunch, Geek Space Brunch, and you'll be able to access all of our episodes. Click the follow button. If you want to get hold of us, you can find us on Twitter. I am DBM00. Mike is naked,
Big
naked
dick.
man,
Big dick.
naked under the cloak.
Naked at the cloak.
Is Mike Myers is not from Halloween
Brunch.
brunch. And you can find us on the Facebooks. You search for Geek Brunch Podcast, or you can go to the website at geekbrunchpodcast.com. Or you can email us at Mike or Bill at comicbooknoise.com.
There you go.
Can find us on the Instagrams at
Can
Geek Brunch Podcast.
they? Are
No,
we
they.
on the Instagrams?
I
We
don't
could
know.
get forum for geeks.
Can find us on the Forum for Geeks. But don't go there or you get a virus.
You'll get a Facebook virus that everybody seems to be falling for right now.
Remember, kids, check your links. Don't trust anything that comes in email that you're not expecting.
Or social media that you're not expecting. Don't click it.
Stay away from the social media, especially Twitter, because it's full of horrid people who'll pollute your mind and make you depressed about the world at hand. Remember, comic books are fantastic,
Read
and they always
comics,
will be.
kids.
'Cause they're wonderful.
Oh, you know what we forgot to talk about? Batman the Damned.
Oh yeah, I didn't read it.
Why?
I didn't get
Why
it.
did you not get it?
I
It's
didn't
a
get it
number one.
because I know. Because I figured I knew they were gonna bring it out in hardcover like they did the Joker one. So I figured I'd just get the hardcover.
Know how much I sold my extra one for?
$50.
$68.
Damn.
You know how much I bought it for? Like $4.11.
That is, you should have bought 100 of them.
I should have. Because
If you only
if
knew.
I knew ahead of time there was going to be bat dick, I would
Should have
have.
put that in the solicit. I would have bought it.
I liked it.
Okay.
It was good. It's like a supernatural thriller. It's
Yeah, I'm
kind of
looking for, I
like,
figured it was going to be good. The creators are good, so.
what if Batman killed Joker and Joker somehow like mystically started something and it involves like Hellblazer, Zatanna, Deadman, like all the mystical
All the
dark
yeah.
characters.
All
And Lieber
supernatural stuff.
Mayo can draw like really good art too, like real, super
He's amazing.
realistic
Yeah.
stuff.
He's amazing. I'm looking forward to it.
The
Hopefully they
penis is
put.
not a big deal. Like it's, we've
It was
seen.
like that. I looked it up. I did a search for Batwang online, and I saw it.
I heard digitally though they blur it, but like on the print copy it's pretty refined. You can see.
But it's just an outline, right?
No, it's a dick.
But it's like in shadows.
It
It's not like a
it's like
full-on
they
fleshy.
could shadow it, but you see the dick.
But it wasn't a fleshy dick, right?
I mean, you can't see the veins of the dick.
Wasn't it? It's like dark, right?
No, it's not even in shadow. It's kind of like it's like his midsection is in shadow and the dick is lit up. No, it's not. I'm gonna show you the dick right now,
It's
and you tell me it's in
dark. I thought it
shadow.
was a dark dick.
You don't. That was mine. This is this
Wait,
one. Look.
what?
Did I just say that? Look, you can even see the tip of the penis there.
Shadow. That's called in shadow,
No,
Mike.
but that's
Not
in
in
shadow.
focus. It's
That's.
not a big light on
No,
it.
but I
It's
see he's been circumcised. You can
shadow.
see that,
It's in
right?
shadow. Yeah, it's like a little glare up from the
And there's
light.
another dick right there.
Like, isn't it just, it's in shadow and then the light's reflecting
And
off
there's
the
ass, too.
shaft.
That might be the first badass. I mean, people aren't
They're going crazy over that.
going crazy after
Are they're
badass,
not
but
blurring the badass.
no, the ass is all out, man. You see those cheeks. There's no hair on his ass, by the way. It's
No, I'm
clean
sure
shaven.
he shaves his ass.
Batman shaves his ass. That's
He's
what I. That's what I. That's what. I, that's what I'm gonna title this episode. Batman shaves his.
Spotify allow us to put that as the title?
Well, I'm gonna put special characters, but I gotta figure out as
You do
Barb
dollar
says,
signs.
spell it AZZ.
Yeah, that works. Shaved as.
Shaves his ass.
Does he have like a smooth butthole?
They don't show the butthole. That's probably an issue too, which you didn't order.
Better order it now, quick.
Yeah, you better get on there. Final
Before
order
they start.
cutoff, you could still get in.
So I assume they're not going to have the dick in the hardcover.
They said they weren't going to show it anymore, period, and that's what made the value go up.
That's it. That was your only chance to see it.
That was your only chance. You'll never see Dick again. Well, not Dick Grayson. You'll see a lot of Dick Grayson.
Unless you go online, then you can see it anywhere.
Yeah. But you won't see it in the context of the story. You need to read it in the story.
That's true. You should always see a dick in context.
You have to see a dick in context, or it's taken out of context.
You can't take it out of
Well, let me
context.
ask you this about dicks and pussy and vagina and lips and everything. Do you think our culture makes such
Yes.
a big deal out of it than any other culture?
I wouldn't say than any other culture.
No, but let's say like European culture,
Yeah, I would say out of like first world
Japanese culture.
cultures, I would say in general, yes. I mean, there's going to be some extreme, like religious nations that take it even more seriously. But yeah,
Yeah.
by far.
Well, let me
Even
ask you
Japan,
this. How do
they're more liberal.
Oh yeah, they have it everywhere. in their manga.
Their manga's full of the hooch.
Full of asses and dicks. So why do you think that is? Religion?
Or yeah, I think it's because of our Christian
origin. But Adam and Eve were naked.
They weren't in America.
They weren't in America? Oh. Where are they located? I know they were in Eden, but where is Eden located geographically?
I think it was on the moon.
Oh, it's on the moon?
I think that's right.
See, I never in my wildest dreams was taught that in catechism, but thank you for bringing that to my attention. So they existed on the moon.
Yeah, that's, well, I mean, back when the moon had like vegetation and stuff.
Oh, okay.
Not the current moon, after Lilith destroyed everything.
Lilith.
After the flood, and there's the flood, the Noah's Ark flood that destroyed the whole moon.
That's a good comic. I like
that. And then everyone came to Earth for the new world.
I like that non-fictional story of the Dark Ark.
What was the question about Dick on the moon?
Dick? No, what? My question is, Canada about Dick?
So we had one TV station, Channel 57, that after like 10 p.m., I think, they used to show movies. So it was just the UHF channel. Like, this is before cable.
Yeah.
They would show R-rated movies, like uncut R-rated movies after 10 p.m., which I don't think they did it in America on any channel. No, so I think it was a little more liberal, but not much.
In the 90s or late 80s, we started to see like shows at 9 p.m. show man ass.
Yeah, there was a... Yeah.
Like Hill Street Blues and shit like that, you know?
Yeah, and I think they said a swear word on like...
L.A. Law.
One of those... The one with David Caruso. And, well, I think they showed that dude's the big... The one dude's ass, right?
David Caruso. What was that show with that guy? Because he was such a bad actor. I swear to God. That guy was always looking... He was always reading from a card. He could never, like... That fucker on that show could never, like, look...
At the other characters?
At the other character. He would always be reading off the card. It would drive me insane. Was he in an L.A. Law? Or no, CSI Miami. That's what it was. He would drive me fucking nuts. I didn't even watch it, but every time it was on at my mother-in-law's house, I was like, God, that damn, that guy can... He's always reading off the card.
Looking at the teleprompter.
Yeah, it's driving me insane.
Yeah, I don't remember what the cop show was. It wasn't like Dennis Farina or something.
Yeah, that was Hill Street Blues, wasn't it?
No, Dennis it wasn't Hill Street Blues.
Dennis Farina was in...
God damn it, now I gotta
Blue
look it
Bloods.
Up.
No, I don't know.
What was the question?
the Canadian dick.
Oh, yeah. So it wasn't... I know that England is way more liberal.
Yeah.
Because they have shows where they're swearing on some of their channels and showing all kinds of dicks. And we had Benny Hill. That was about it.
That was awesome, though. God, I love Benny Hill. I'd have to stay up late to watch that, though.
Yeah, I was
those girls were sexy, man. I used to love
sexy
that.
Women. That was a very sexy show. Woman.
And then they used to do that fast paced stuff.
They're all running around.
Yeah. I think I have Benny Hill on DVD. I gotta watch that. All right, well, I think we can wrap this up. We're just a little bit under 3 hours. So Daryl will be happy.
NYPD Blue, that's the
that's
one.
That's NYPD Blue.
He was on.
But that guy wasn't even a good-looking man, right? He's like kind of bottle shape, right? Like he's got okay. Like pear shape.
I don't think he had the nice abs. Of
no, he doesn't have abs. He has Joe. He's shaped like a normal dude.
Yeah, they're normal-sized dudes.
Wasn't that guy balding, too? Like, sort of?
Which guy? David Caruso?
No, David Caruso was the red-headed old guy that...
The other guy, yeah.
Farina, like, why would you want to show his ass? He's not a built man. Just because you could.
You can show his ass and no one will get aroused.
Did they ever show woman ass in that show? Or is it just man ass?
I don't know. I know they started with man ass. I don't know if they
I've never saw woman ass.
ventured into the female ass.
In your cop shows, Barb, they show man ass, but where have we ever seen woman ass? I've seen woman leg, but I've never seen like an ass. Like, you'll always have that cop, like he's just like, and then you see like ass. But have you ever seen a woman standing with the ass just facing you? That doesn't count.
Sometimes they'll be like in the locker room and you'll see someone like walk by and get a quick
Like
flash of ass.
Porky's? What'd you think of Porky's back in the day?
It was everything.
I thought so too. The thing that was amazing about that is it really had a good plot. Like, it showed racism, it showed bully friendship, like high school shenanigans. It had some awesome nudity, and the pranks that they would do in Porky's 1 and Porky's 2 were pretty freaking amazing that they would do on each other. I can't believe he stuck his dick in that hole, though. God dang, what was he thinking? And then
How could he not? How could he not?
but Miss Ballbreaker grabbed the dick
She
and
did.
just pulled. And I remember she was telling the principal the story, and they couldn't stop laughing. She had the dick. She says, "I know what the dick looked like. I could spot it anywhere." She wanted to de-pants everybody on the basketball team so she could look at their dicks. And the principal's like, "I can't have you do that." She said, "I would know that mole anywhere." Why isn't that ever on the movie channels anymore? I liked Porky's 1 through 3. That was like the American Pie team.
Yeah, that was like our American Pie,
Yeah.
or the original American Pie.
They were good.
Was the one you always wanted to see when you were a kid.
Oh, I loved it when I was a kid. I watched it over and over and over again.
Shaped a generation. And this is what it turned into.
That's right. Porky's. It had a trilogy, just like American Pie. Well, American Pie went past the trilogy, I think, because they have all those direct-to-video American Pie Bandcamp things. But there was like American Pie 1, 2, and then The Wedding. I don't think there was anything after that. Besides the band camp.
Such spin-offs.
I like those movies too, though. I think they're good. They come up with like really unique pranks, like that they do on each other. Like I just dig them.
You seem to like movies where kids are doing pranks on one another.
Yeah, that's why I'm gonna watch that horror movie that you're talking about.
Ah, yes, the pranks.
Yeah, college pranks. But these pranks were funny. These were
Yeah, the ones in
funny
Raw are not
pranks.
funny.
Yeah.
Not funny pranks.
I was gonna mention something about dicks, but I forgot. It was about a movie. Oh, I was just watching. God, I love this movie so much, but it's War of the Roses. The thing that's fascinating about that movie is he still has love for her, even at the last scene when he grabs her hand. But there's a scene when they're in the attic, and I'm like, what is this fucker thinking, man? He's totally thinking with his dick. He's on top of her, and she hates him already. And then he's like getting real sexually aroused, like you smell good and all this stuff. He's getting to the point where it's almost creepy because he's almost gonna rape his wife. At least it looks that way. But then she says something to him, says, "I'm aroused," or something. "I want to touch the little soldier head," or whatever it is. And she says, well, you haven't called him that in a long time. And he rolls over like an idiot. This is after they almost killed each other. And he lets her put his dick in her mouth. And she obviously bites the fuck out of it and then throws him out of the attic. And I'm like, what an idiot. Like, to put your most vulnerable piece into something so, like, she's lucky she just
Someone that
didn't
hates you.
pull it off. But that movie's fascinating, man. I just, holy crap, they hated each other.
Haven't seen that in forever.
That's one of the movies that I watch every month because it shows up and I can't stop watching it.
Can't turn it
Yeah, I
off.
can't turn it off. All right, well, that almost got us to the 3-hour mark and
All right.
with some bat wang, and we'll
Thanks
talk
for
to you
listening.
later.
You
Bye
can
bye.
contact us at Geek Brunch Podcast. Oh, I already did that.
Yeah, po
Don't forget
Spotify us.
to
Whatever the fuck that
Spotify us. We
means.
need the cash.
We don't get cash from Spotify. I'm checking the statistics now, and you're our only
All the
follower.
cash. I don't think I followed it.
It says
Did I?
followers 1, listeners 0, streams 0, starts 0.
I know I started it. I don't think I followed it. I'll follow it, then we'll have two followers.
Why did I put this on here? All right. Well, enjoy your mushroom sandwich.
Mushroom sandwich. I will. Enjoy your
Beans.
chicas.
My chicas.
Chico. Enjoy Chico.
Chico. All right. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye.